ജയം ശ്രീപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജനാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയില പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി ജയം നത്തിലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയില പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദകി നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്കി പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീഅദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദകി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനകി വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാം കി മായപ്പൂർ ധാം കി മധുരപുരി ധാം കി ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാം കി ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാം കി ഗംഗമായിക്കി യമുനമായിക്കി തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദകി ഓ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൻ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സബലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പദയോ സമജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവഭാവ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാതേഷ വിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയാ തേജോ ഭാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തഗുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മ പ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാപരേശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധേത്രകൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീതൽക്ഷണാൽ ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാഭുവിഭാവുകാഹം സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ആയനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജ്ജുഭാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരമോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിദീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിനാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ജൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കൊണിതാദൃതാനനേന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരിന്ന കണികാഭികാഭികാമി ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ
വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദിഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീ ചരണാരവിന്ദപുരമാനവീ നമഃ. പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വദാലേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി. കോമളം പൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ. മൂകം കരോലി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലങ്കൈ ദേവീം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ. ശ്രീമതി രാധിയായി നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം വിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദം. ഓം പാതായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവദാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ദനാമി ഭഗവദ്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീ. നമോസ്തു ദേവ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ കുലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപം പ്രപന്നവാരിജാതായ ത്വത്രവേത്രൈകബാണൈ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ. സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും. ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥ ജലാ ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ മഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഃ പേവീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരതമംഗജക്കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിനശ്രേയസേ. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവേ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമ ഉപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതതദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. ആത്മാ യദി സ്യാൽ സുഖദുഃഖഹേതു കിമന്യതസ്തത്ര നിജസ്വഭാവഃ നഹ്യാത്മനോന്യദ്യതി തം തന്മൃഷാ സ്യാൽ ക്രുധ്യേത കസ്മാൽ ന സുഖം ന ദുഃഖം. യെസ്റ്റർഡേ വെൻ വി ഡിസ്കസ് ഭിക്ഷുഗീത, ഭിക്ഷു വാസ് സെയിങ് ദാറ്റ് സുഖം ദുഃഖം ബോത്ത് ഹാപ്പിനെസ് ആൻഡ് ഡിസ്ട്രെസ്, വേർ ഈസ് ഇറ്റ്? ആത്മാ യദി സ്യാൽ സുഖദുഃഖ ഹേതു കിമന്യതസ്തത്ര നിജസ്വഭാവം. ദി ഫാൾസിറ്റി ഓഫ് ഹാപ്പിനെസ് ആൻഡ് ഡിസ്ട്രെസ്, ദ ഫാൾസിറ്റി ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ്. വൈ ഇസ് ഇറ്റ് ഫാൾസ്? ബിക്കോസ് ഭിക്ഷു ഈസ് സെയിങ് ദാറ്റ് സംതിങ് ദാറ്റ് ഹാപ്പൻസ് ഇഫ് ഇൻ യുവർ മൈൻഡ് ഇഫ് യു ആർ ഏബിൾ ടു അക്സെപ്റ്റ് ഇറ്റ് ദെൻ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് സുഖം. What you like is sukham. If in the mind it is not giving you happiness, then it is dukham. What has atma got to do with it? That is the question. That is Bhikshu's question. something that happens in life, and if you like it in the mind will accept it, and you say it's sukham. And something that happens which mind doesn't accept it, or mind doesn't like it. In other words, this particular way we want things to happen in life, that causes happiness and distress. If one does not have that, one does not insist it should happen this way he wants it to happen, or she wants that to happen, then there is no sukham, there is no dukham. So that is the point he was making. Atmanam and Atma yadisyal sukadukha hetu. Atma is not responsible for sukham dukham. Who is responsible then? Mind is responsible for sukham dukham. Atma has nothing to do with it. And kimanyadastra nijasabhavam, that nijasabhavam, the false nature of the experience, he is saying it is a false thing because it has no reality in there. So we always think that in our way, our own mind, this should happen to me, that should not happen to me. This is good for me, this is not good for me. And if you are particular about it, it will not happen in life though. In life it won't happen like that. Sometimes it may be favorable the way you want it. And when the bad things are meant to happen, it will happen. And it will come one after the other. Sometimes good things, sometimes bad things, and they'll keep coming. So, sukham will come, dukham will come. Happiness will come, distress will come. And problems will come. And samasyal sukadukhabhyam mrityu jivitayohe tatha. Vritrasura says, if you look into Bhagavatam, how Vritra puts it there. In the sixth canto, Vritrasura mentions this. Tasmadagirti yashasor jayabajayo ravi samasyal sukadukhabhyam mrityu jivitayo tatha. 14. 6, 12, 14. Vritrasura says this. He says, tasmad agirti yashase. Agirti means infamy, or what you call bad publicity, you can say. Yashase, good publicity, fame. Jayam abhajayo ravi, success and failure. Samasyal sukha dukhabhyam, happiness and distress also will come. Mrityu jividayo sada, life and death will also happen. So these dualities, dundvam, will always be there in life. That's what Vritrasura is saying. A personality who met Lord Balaram. And he is telling us, who met Sri Parvati. That's why when Sri Parvati got offended by Chitrakedu's... Chitrakedu is Vritrasura, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, you know. This episode is in the Vedam as well. From Vedam this has come. So, what happened to Chitrakedu? Chitrakedu upset Sri Parvati. And Sri Parvati cursed him. And he said, no, I have nothing to worry about it. Because this is the principle. Tasmad agirti yashasor jayabam jayab abhajayo rabi samasyal sukadukhabhyam mrityu jivitayo tatha. One will come, good, and then bad will come. Then another good will come, another bad will come. This is life. That's what he is saying there. So if it is like that, Vritrasura says there, that the sarvesham so anikraman, everybody in this world, good thing will come, bad thing will come, praise and insult, one after the other, it will keep coming. If you study history also, you can see the same thing in the history. One time they will praise a leader to the top and put him on the highest pedestal. And the very next day they'll pull him down and say he's useless. It even happens in spiritual life. That is the nature of the world. One day they'll say he's a mega guru. And he's got everything, he's self-realized, this, that, and everything he'll say. Very next day he'll say, oh, he was useless, I knew that before. They'll say, and then pull him down. So, once you have been worshipped, next day you will be insulted and cursed by others. So, similarly, health also, if you look, sometime you are healthy and sometime illness will come. And similarly, sometimes you are wealthy, you feel wealthy, sometimes, although it doesn't mean anything, but you feel wealthy and then sometime you feel very poor, isn't it? So all these things in life will come in a line, one after the other. So our Bhikshu is saying that what is happening in the Prakriti, in all those things, don't get attached to anything. When you're getting rich also, don't get attached. When you get poor also, don't get distressed about it. Because Bhikshu is saying like that, I'm going to take bhiksha now. I'm going to beg for the food. Because I'm not taking bhiksha inside anymore. It's only outside. There's two kinds of bhiksha. One bhiksha is from outside you're begging for food. That's the external bhiksha. Inside bhiksha is begging with full of desires, suffering with full of desires. That's the worst thing. Inside I have no more hunger, he says. Inside that desires are hungry for desires to fulfill, that's gone. The only bhiksha I'm now taking is the food for the body. That's not an important thing. That is what he is saying here. With the mind I'm not begging. I'm begging with the body now. And I'm not asking anything from the Prakriti. And I will never say to the Prakriti, I want this and I don't want that. That thing has gone away from him. That is why he is saying there in the two verses, you will see 54 and 55. Graha nimittam sukha dukha yoschel kimalpanojasya janasya devai graha yagrahasya yuvadandi pidam kuddhyeda gaspahi purushastha dunyam karmastu hedu sukha dukha yoschel kimalpanastu dijada jadatve deyastu yajil purushoyam suparna kuddhyeda gaspahi nahi karma moolam. Those two verses. He is saying there that karmastu hedu, karma may be responsible for this. Karma may be responsible, prarabdha may be responsible for it. But who has got the problem? The body has got all the problems, isn't it? So, the result of all the karma, I am willing to go through it, let it come, and let the body experience it, jadam. And Atma, he says there, karmastu hedu, sugadukha yoschel, kim atmanastaddi jada jadatve. What you have to remember is, karmam is jadam, body is jadam. Then he is saying that dehastujal purushoyam suparna, but the living force inside, atma, he is suparna. He is calling it as suparna. Suparna means living force, chaitanyam in other words. So that is why Garuda has a name suparna. And Upanishads also has got a name suparna. And mantram is called Trisuparna. Brahma Vidya is called Trisuparna. You will see this word Suparna in Bhagavatam in many, many places. Trisuparna means Upanishad Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya that is spoken in the Upanishads. So that living force which is present in every one of us in the waking state, in the dream state and in the deep sleep, and in all these three states, that thing which doesn't go through any changes, which is the soul, Antaryami, Atma, whichever way you call it. So that living force is called Suparna. Is called Suparna. You will see in the 8th canto of the Bhagavatam, this spoken. 8th canto. Because 8th canto, you can see Manyundara Katha, isn't it? In that Manyundara Katha, you will see the first chapter itself, this word used to Suparna. Eleventh verse, 8:1:11. Yam na pashyadi pashyandam chakshur yasya narishyadi tam bhudanilayam devam suparnam upadhavade. Addressing it as Suparnam. All those verses are from the Upanishads. 10, 11, 13, all, 12. Alpa avasam idam vishwam. Ish Upanishad words. Alpa avasam idam vishwam. Yal kinji jagatyam jagal. Tena tektuena bunjida magradakasya sildhanam. Yamna pashyadi pashyandam. Chakshoriya sanarishyadi. Tambhudanalayam devam suparnam upadavadam. Isna yasya adyando madhyam jasuparonandaram vahi vishwasya almuniyal yasmal vishwam chatatam tadradam mahat. Those three Upanishad verses has come there and you can see the word Suparna used there. And again if you go into the sixth chapter, eighth canto, There, 39th verse, also the word Suparna is used, all referring to the living force. That last verse, Avaropigirim skandan Suparna patatam vara yayau jalandamul srijya harinasa visarjidam. Avaropigirim skandan Suparna patatam vara yayau jalandamul srijya harinasa visarjidam. Then again, if you go into the 10th chapter, the word used there at the 54th verse, that tatas suparnam sagrada angri pallavam pishangavasa navakanjalo chanam adrishyadashta ashtayida bahru ullasa shri kaustubha anarkya kirida kundalaha. So, word suparna is there referring to that that Atma, all referring to Atma. Atma is called Suparna. Suparna. So, why? Because in all situations, Atma has no, never joins anything. That is the nature of Atma. He doesn't join the body. He doesn't join the mind. In his nature is such, not sticking to anything, doesn't stick to anything. Neither to the body, nor to the mind, nor to the intelligence, nor to the ego. He doesn't stick to anything. He's just being present, but completely untouched by the corruptions around. So, you remember the two birds we spoke about sitting on the tree? In that bird which is golden color, he is Suparna. Dva Suparna Swayjo Sakhaya. The words you will see. The word Suparna coming there. So Suparnam refers to the bird which is Andaryami or the living force inside everybody. And that Suparna is the one which is the golden bird which never touches, never enjoys the fruit. The other bird which is us wants to taste everything, enjoy everything and suffer everything. That's us. So Jiva is the one which accepts all the results from its karma and experiences the happiness and the distress. That bird, Dehada Ajil Deha Machid, Atma. Atma is Chit. And Krudhyeda Kasmai, he says there that Krudhyeda Kasmai. Krudhyada kasmai purushastadosya. Dehastu achit. Body is achit. Atma is chit. Deham is achit. Atma is chit. Isn't it? And he says here, Krudhyada kasmai nahi karma moolam. Whom should I get upset before of my karma if something has happened in life? Kalastu hedu. 56. Kalastu hedu sukadukkayoschel kim almanastad jada jadatve dehastvajil purushoyam suparna kudhyeda kasmai nahi karma moolam. Kalastu hedu sukadukkayoschel kim almanastatra tad almagosau na agneer hidabo na himasya tasyal kudhyeda kasmai na parasya dvandvam. Na parasya dvandvam. So Bichu is saying, I have transcended this material existence. I have crossed over that and I am fully fixed in the, established in Krishna, established in the truth. And I will stay like that, saying that with full freedom, Bhikshu traveled all over the world. So, he says, and all other things we have discussed before also, Shri Bhagavan Vaja Nurvidya Nashtad Drano Kadaklama Pravrajagam Varyadama Namitam Niragado Sadbhirvisodharma Akambidoma Muniraha Gadham. So, and Krishna is saying that this Bhikshu has sung a song. And how did he sing that song? Nurvidya Nashtad Dravino Kadaklama. Dravina means all his wealth. It's all lost. Everything has been lost. With that, all his problems also gone. And pravrajya, he says, pravrajya means parivrajanam. Parivrajanam means wandering in the world freely. When we say Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajagam, Parivrajagam means one who has no connections anywhere, freely moving around in this world, Parivrajagacharya. So Parivrajanam means that Gam Paryavanam Paryadamanam Gam Paryadamanam Itham. Gam Paryadamanam Itham. That means he has travelled freely in this world without any attachment anywhere, completely free from everything. So, fully freely he wants, and he says here that nirakrito asadbhi, nirakritaha asadbhi, asat, bad people, they have insulted him at that time, and even though they have given him a lot of problems, many ways, they have insulted him and treated him, ill-treated him. So dharmad akambidaha, he says. So dharmad akambidaha. That means, what is that sodharmam? Paramahamsa dharmam. That is his sodharmam. In that paramahamsa dharmam, he was fixed. He was fixed in the paramahamsa dharmam. Even though he was ill-treated by the world, and they have given him a lot of problems, he was still established in his dharmam. His dharmam was, he is a Paramahamsa sannyasi now. So Bhikshu says, I stayed in that Paramahamsa dharmam. And without even having a slightest deviation from that, I lived in that way. And he wandered around in this world singing this song called Bhikshu Gita. Bhikshu Gita. What is that song? Suga dukkha pradonanya purusha syalpa vibhrama Mitra Udasina Ribava Samsara Masakrada. That's a song. Suga Dukha Pradonanya Purusha Syalpa Vibramaha Mitram Udasina Ribava Samsara Masakradam. He says, in this world, happiness and distress for a person is given by the mind only. Only by the mind. Sugada dukha pradonanya purushasya alpa vibhrama. And purushasya alpa vibhrama. Because actually it is a vibhramam. That the thing called happiness and distress, it's a vibhramam. Vibhrama means a kind of illusion in us. And what is present here is only Krishna. Who is present here is only reality. In reality here, there is only Krishna here. There is nothing else. So, and he is my friend, he is my enemies, he is my enemy, and somebody else does not belong to either of these things. Saying all these things, and saying like that, and he is thinking, that, saying in that way, he is thinking, he is my friend and enemy, and he is indifferent. In that way, he himself falls into this illusion. Actually, he has no friend here, and he has no enemy either. And there is nobody indifferent to him also. Everything else is Atma Swarupam. Only Atma is present here. This is his realization. He says, Sugadakka Pradonanyu Purushasi Atma Vibraha, Atma Vibrahma, Mitram Udasena Ripava, and Samsara Tamasakrada. That is called material existence. Material existence. Material existence means to consider somebody is my friend, somebody is my enemy, somebody is not connected to me, in this way. To Vedabuddhi, basically Vedabuddhi. To create Vedabuddhi means you are in the material existence. You will see this in many, many places. In the Bhagavadam, one place it is material existence is compared to Bhavadavi Varnanam, a deep forest. You remember that chapter, the forest of enjoyment in the Bhagavadam? In the, I think it's in the fifth canto. What is it saying there? Material existence is like a forest. The forest of enjoyment it's called. Bhavadavi Varnanam. That's the word in the Bhagavadam. So, Bhavadavi Varnanam. Adavi means forest. In three chapters you will see, Shukha Brahmarshi spoke everything to Parikshit in a very indirect way. Paroksham. When he said that, Parikshit Maharaj told Shukha Brahmarshi, you people are used to speaking like this, everything indirectly. I'm not used to that. I'm used to talking directly everything. So when Parikshit said, because rishis have got this problem, they will say everything in an indirect way.
And people like us won't understand what they are saying. We are used to direct. Only if it is spoken directly we'll understand.
So Parikshit said that to him, that you are always speaking things indirectly. This particular thing what you have spoken, I didn't understand, he said, in one whole chapter after hearing that.
So at that time, in two chapters, Shiva Brahmarshi explained that. One chapter he spoke and then explained that in another two chapters, what he meant by saying that chapter, what he exactly meant. So there, material existence is compared to a forest, a deep forest, in the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is comparing material existence to what?
Banyan tree.
Huge tree, banyan tree. So these type of comparisons is quite normal, to compare our material life or material existence either to a forest or to a banyan tree. And sometimes you will compare, like in the Guru Ashtakam, samsara dhavana nalitha loka, dhavanala, forest fire. All are appropriate, all suits this material existence. Why? Because we create friends, enemies and the indifferent ones, and then suffer from that and burning in that fire. That's what we are all doing, is it not? So, whereas actually there is only Atma present here. That's why it's saying that. Sudukha pradona anyaha purushasya alpa vibhrama. Only Krishna is present here, but vibhramam has happened inside. An illusion has happened inside. And therefore, that bhramam or illusion is working. I call somebody, oh, it's my best friend, they say sometimes. It's a good friend of mine. And somebody says, nobody says he's a good enemy of mine, but he's a good friend of mine. So, what does it mean? It means nothing, isn't it? So, and that is vigalpam. That's what is called vigalpam. And these are all vigalpam ichis. In the Shastram they call this as vigalpam. And that brahman, that illusion, it is called vigalpam. And when our ignorance has gone away, like the bhikshu's ignorance has gone from inside, and once that has gone, what the knowledge what he has got is nirvigalpa jnanam. Without any vigalpam, knowledge without any vigalpam. It means what? Atma vedam sarvam. Everything is Atma. There is no friend, there is no enemy. Everywhere what is present is Atma. And Atma is what you are perceiving or you are thinking in your mind as enemy about somebody. You are thinking as your enemy is Atma. And Atma is one whom you are considering as your friend. And Atma is someone whom you are considering is not connected to you. Udasinan, in other words. Brahmajit, Brahma Bhuvanam, Brahma Paramparaha, Mitra Bandavaha. Upanishad. Upanishad says, as an enemy, as a friend, everything is Brahman. Atma, in other words. So, and knowing this, to live in this world in the liberated conditions is the right thing to do. And the Muni says, I am performing parivrajanam, wandering around in this world. Therefore, sukadukha pradona anyaha, that because separately from me, there is nobody here to give me happiness or distress. It is that same situation. He is in the platform of the soul, not in the platform of the body anymore. Like Hastavalaka said, isn't it? Samrata also said the same thing. Who is there to give happiness and distress? There is nobody else here except me, he says. That means once you have moved on to that platform of the soul, you can't think of anything in terms of the body or other body. It's only when you come to the bodily platform or the mental platform, you have friend, enemy, and indifferent and all that. So, he says, Mitra Udasina, Udasina Jivaha. And he says, Mitra Udasina Jivaha Samsara Tamasakrita. And because I have thought like that before, when we leave this world, at least you have to live in that consciousness, not thinking that somebody is my friend, somebody is my enemy, and somebody is nothing to do with me. No, everywhere there is only Atma present there. And he says like that samsara tamaha, and this darkness that has come inside me because of my ignorance, ajnanam inside or avidya inside, the effect of that is called samsaram. Samsaram is the effect of that. Tasmal, Krishna says, Tasmal sarval manatata nigrahana manodhiya maya veshitaya yukta edavan yoga samgraha. Tasmal sarval manatata nigrahana manodhiya maya veshitaya yukta edavan yoga samgraha. Yoga samgraha. He says, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, in the old days it was like that, that sarvalpana, with all your power, use that all of the power, nigrihana manodhiya. Nigrihana manodhiya. Nigrihana manodhiya means, with a clear intelligence, control your mind. Nigrihana manodhiya. Here means intelligence. And control the mind with a clear intelligence. And gets fixed up in Krishna, in knowledge. And he says here, maya veshadaya yuktaha. Turn the mind inwards, not outward. Turn the mind inwards and fixed in me. And keep yourself absorbed in me. And that is the conclusion of all yoga process. Krishna is saying, maya veshadaya yukta edavan yoga sangraha. Edavan yoga sangraha. So somehow or the other, withdraw the mind from the world and clear the world from inside by not thinking of anyone as friend or enemy or indifferent person, mitram udasinam ripu. Give up all that concepts inside, turn the attention inwards, the mind, and get established in the truth, Atma, Antaryami, or Krishna, and that itself is the yoga, he says. So, and if you are able to do that itself, Uddhava, is a yogam. And edavan yoga sangraha. And Krishna will repeat this again and again. There is not a lot Krishna is expecting in that sense from us. What he is saying there, if you look into the 16th chapter also, he mentioned the same thing in another way, in the 11th canto. If you look into the 16th chapter, when he concluded, the same way he concluded that chapter also, that what Krishna is saying there is that I'm not expecting 42nd verse, 42nd, 1642. Vacham yecha, mano yecha, pranan yechendriyani cha, almanam almano yecha, nabhuya kalpase dhvani. That's that verse. Vacham yecha, mano yecha, pranan yecha, indriyani cha. Alpanam alpano yacha na bhuya kalpase dhvani. Same thing Krishna is repeating again here. In a different way he has spoken. Here he said, nigrihana manodhya. There Krishna is saying, control the words, control the mind, control the prana, indriya, senses, everything, and control alpanam, control the mind with intelligence. Alpanam alpano yacha na bhuya kalpase dhvani. Again, do not think of coming back here. So same thing here, that if you do that, Uddhava, you won't take any more birth after that. So what's the process? Vacham yacha mano yacha. Control the tongue, control the mind, control the prana, the living force, control the senses, and ego, ahangaram, take it back and dissolve it in the self, because it's a false one. And then you will not come back again here, he says. And then in this process of birth and death, they call it as a highway. This birth and death passage is like a highway. You won't meet anybody anymore. Once for all, that journey is over. And all that Krishna said there. Vacham yacha, mano yacha, pranan yacha. Pranan yachendriyani cha. Almanam almano yecha. Na bhuya kalpase dhuni. Na bhuya kalpase dhuni. So the same thing Krishna is once again mentioning that here in a little slightly different way. So practically what you have to remember in both cases is what he is saying is there that bring the mind back to Krishna somehow. That's all. Or if in the Bhakti Margam you will say like that, bring the mind back to Krishna. In the Jnana Margam you will say, bring the mind back to Atma. That's all. Or Antaryami, whichever way you call it. And in other words, it is called Brahmanishta. Brahmanishta or Jnananishta or Yoganishta, whichever way you call it, the one vastu is the same. And after saying this, Krishna closes the chapter, the last verse in the Bhikshu Gita. What did he say? He said, Ya edam bhikshunam gidam brahmanishtam samahitaha dharayan shravayan shrinvan dvandvair naivabhibhuyade. Ya edam bhikshunam gidam brahmanishtam samahitaha dharayan shravayan shrinvan dvandvair naivabhibhuyade. What is the name Krishna has given for this chapter, Bhikshu Gita? He calls it as Brahmanishta. The name itself is Bhikshunam Gidam Brahmanishta, he says. Brahmanishtam Samahita. So, this song which was sung by the Bhikshu, which gives Brahmanishta to anyone who practices it, and or one who, what he has to do? Dharayan Shravayan Shrinvan. He has to hear Shrinvan. He has to Shravayan, make others to hear. Above all that, first thing they give importance to, Dharayan. Dharayan means he should reflect on it and it make his own. So first thing is that, to make one's own, Dharayan. Then he should tell others what he has realized from this Bhikshu Gita. And then finally he should hear it. Dharayan, Shravayan, Shrinvan. Three things. Krishna is saying that. Ya edam ikshunangidam brahmanishtam samahida dharayan shravayan shrinuen. If you do all that, then what will happen? Dundvair naivabhibhuyate. You won't be affected by the dualities of this world. It will not bother you anymore. Vedabuddhi will go from inside. Vedabuddhi will go. Duality will go. Dundam will go from inside. He says here. So, Shrinvan. Shrinvan means to listen to it carefully, with attention, with bhakti. And if you do that, dundvai naivabhibhuyade. This dundam, what is dundam? Dundam means, I know I have said many times, it's happiness and distress. That's dundam. Sometimes feeling on the top of the world. So, sometimes feeling very depressed. That's dundam. Similarly, to think something is good and something is bad. We think this is good, this is bad. Heat and cold, all these are dundum. All these are dundum. We say, oh, he's a good person, he says. Somebody else is a bad person. Actually, that's all the perceptions in the mind of somebody. Alma is present there. We are not giving importance to that. We are only saying that the person is bad. Maybe his nature may be different from us. But that does not mean that the real person inside is bad. He is still Atma. Krishna is present there, isn't it? So, all the dundvam, he says here, will create illusion inside. This dundvam, that's what it does. It creates an illusion inside us, thinking that I want it this way, in my way, because I like it. The other thing, I don't like it, so therefore I don't want it. So, liking, disliking, isn't it? Dundvair naivabhibhuyate. That's the benefit from the Bhikshu Gita. Bhikshu Gita will take us to that point, that you'll get released from the dualities of life, dualities of material life, dualities of material life. So, dharayan shravayan shrinvan. Then, in the Shastram, they will say, shrodavyam shrodavyaha mandavyaha nididhyasidavyaha. Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. The three ways in the Jnana Margam. So, and somehow we should do that this Bhikshugita again and again, and that means this Brahmanishtha, and get established there and make others to hear that. And even if you make others to hear, little by little, you will become free from the dualities of life and get established in the Brahman, Brahmanishtha or Atmanishtha, another word. Yoganishtha, Jnananishtha, Atmanishtha, Brahmanishtha, it's all one and the same, no difference at all. Or Paramahamsa stage will happen to him. Or in other words, Krishna says he'll become a jnani, a realized soul. So that is the end of that Bhikshugita. We have discussed Bhikshugita twice, once earlier, another time now. I'm sure you have some understanding now what this Bhikshugita is referring to, isn't it? It's talking about Bhikshu's realizations Krishna has brought into Srimad Bhagavatam for one reason only, that Vairagyam, Jnanam, they all go together. And when you are completely attached to the world, this knowledge of the self is difficult to happen. Difficult to happen. Therefore, we have to become very relaxed about the world. That things will happen. There's nothing we can do about it. And as we explained yesterday, Atma yadisyal sukadukha hedu, that in proper understanding, Atma, nobody is responsible for our happiness and distress. Nayam janome sukadukha hedu. Not even planets or other demigods, or even our karma is not responsible, in the sense that karma also is prarabdham, and that is only affects the body, not the self. There also you can't blame the karma. But knowing very well that graha karma kalam, time, kalam, karmam, manaparam karanam amanandi. As long, you will only suffer as long as your mind is absorbed in that, in these dualities of the world. If dualities of the world are present inside, then there will be misery, will be followed by misery. And this material existence will continue. But once the dualities have gone away from inside, then there is no more material existence, and you will get established in the platform of the soul, which is called Brahmanishtha here, or Yoganishtha. Krishna is saying, you will be free from the dualities of material life. With that, Bhikshugita finishes. So again, if you have time, go through this Bhikshugita again and again as and when. Because Bhagavatam is like this, it will present some truth to you in a particular way, format. Earlier, he spoke about Hamsagita. Hamsagita is one way of presenting the truth. Dattatreya Gita, 24 spiritual masters, is another way of presenting the truth in front of us. Dattatreya Maharshi has his way presented the truth to us, how he learned and how he realized. That's one episode on its own. Then Hamsam, which is Krishna manifested in the form of Hamsam, and instructed the four Kumaras when Kumaras had some doubt. And what happened in that meeting between Hamsam and the Kumaras, that is called Hamsagita. Hamsam spoke to the Kumaras about the truth in his own way, style. And there different questions were asked and answered. Now Bhikshu has come and he has presented his realization in another way. They may present the realization in different way because they are all realizing in a different way things. But final realization is one and the same thing. There is no difference at all. Whether you look into the Dattatreya Gita or Hamsa Gita or Bhikshu Gita or even the other one which we have discussed before, Aila Gita, it's one and the same. Aylan also says the same thing. Puridavas is saying, Puridava's problem was he got caught up in sense enjoyment. And then he realized later that this is all nonsense. It is not getting me anywhere, this sense enjoyment. That has drawn, pulled me down. He realized that, Puridava's. He was a great king, great emperor. But somehow or the other got attached to Urvashi. And with that attachment he suffered. He suffered because of that. And finally he had to openly tell the world, to everybody in this world, don't go down in this route, you will suffer. His own misery, he is saying to us, and addressing the world and telling us, don't go in this direction, you will suffer. of the attachment to Urvashi. What happened? You can't blame Urvashi for that. It is his mind that is responsible. Pururava's mind. So Pururava said there that it is not Urvashi's fault, it's my fault that I ran after her. Saying this, Pururava's also told the world, I realized the truth. Pururava's Krishna's grace, he realized the truth. Come out of it. Similarly, Bhikshu is saying here in the same way that making money was the whole business in life. He went after money. Pururavas went after Urvashi, he went after money. He suffered from that. And finally, he also realized this is all useless. So, realization can come in different ways in people's life. Either due to money, attachment to the money, he suffered and then he came out of it. That illusion gone away from the head. He came to his senses, in other words. Proper understanding. What happened to Pururavas in one way, happened to Bhikshu in another way. Sanagadi Rishishuras, that means Sanaga Sananda, Sanadana, Sanat Kumara, the four Kumaras, they also had doubts. But their doubts was on a higher level. Bhikshu and our Pururavas was having a mundane level, more it was. But Sanagadi Rishishuras, their doubts were on a much higher level. That is why Hamsa Gita is more difficult to understand. Higher the doubt, higher level of doubt means, the answer also will be on a much higher level. So even to understand the question is difficult. What to talk about the answer? That's why when you remember when the four Kumaras asked a question, that first thing what Krishna did was to prove that the question itself is wrong, he said. That's how he started the Hamsa Gita. Is it not? So there, on a spiritual level, completely Kumaras had this doubt and Krishna cleared the doubt in the form of Hamsam. Therefore, Hamsa Gita. And other one, the Tatraya Gita, which we saw the 24 spiritual masters, when the Tatraya Maharshi spoke about that, he's explaining to us how practical it is. If you are properly tuned in spiritual life, tuned into spiritual life, you will see so many spiritual masters in this world who will teach you what you should do and what you should not do in spiritual life. Give you a direction all the time, keep you on the track in spiritual path. And that he started with the five material elements itself. Prithivi, Vayu, Akasham, Avam, Agni. All five material elements is mentioned. Beginning from that, 24 spiritual masters he spoke. He said, I have learned everything from one person or the other. Krishna also says in the Bhagavatam that one guru may not give you everything. It may not be possible. You may have to go to many people. Because the reason is that one person who is well trained in the Upanishads may not have a good knowledge of all the other Shastrams. There may be someone else who has a higher knowledge of that. So when you are studying also, you may have to take help from different people to know different things. So in that way, finally, Dattatreya Maharshi says there, these are the 24 personalities from whom I have learned. They were not thinking him as his disciple. They were having their own life. He has accepted them as his guru. That's the difference. He didn't go there and tell them, initiate me to Prithvi, Vayu, Akasham. No, he saw them and he learned from them. So, because he learned something from them, he's saying, they are my teacher. They have taught me this. About earth, water, air, ether, fire. I, Ragasham, Abham, Chandrama, and Ravi, the moon, the sun. Kapodam, Ajagarasindhu, Patanga, Madhgarad, Gaja, Madhuha, Harino, Meena, Pingala, Kuraram, Arbhagam, Kumari, Sharavat, Sarpam, Urnanabhi, Supeshagam. 25 spiritual masters are spoken there. One by one, which we have discussed before in the 11th canto. So there, the way of receiving that understanding, spiritual understanding or transcendental knowledge is by observation. He observed this. Because the Tatraya Maharshi was himself a great soul, Maharshi he was. And he observed people and from them he learned. I should become like this, I should not become like that. Different cases he mentions there. You can study that in the beginning of the Ekadasha. So we have. And each one of these are independent.
They all can, any one of them, if you take it seriously, if any one of them, if you take it seriously, according to your liking, if you take it seriously and do mananam on that, contemplate on that, and make it your own, then Krishna is saying, you will reach that state. Realization will come. Self-realization will come from that. This is how these four Gitas in the Bhagavatam finishes there. So you can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the message is one, but that message is presented to us in different ways to make it little bit more easier for us, because sometimes some people may be attracted by the Hamsa Gita, someone else is attracted by the Dattatreya Gita. We never know which will be attracted to whom. So that is why that four Gitas are important. So there finishes that Bhikshu Gita. Now we'll go back to the 28th chapter, which we have started last time, but we had to, those at the very end, we started in the summer. Anyway, I'll briefly go back to what we discussed before last time, because you may have forgotten all that. In this 28th chapter, whatever we have discussed before, the very essence or the very summary of all that, without referring to anything else, is spoken directly here. This is one special nature of this 28th chapter. Chapter 28, you don't see there Krishna talking about any other things which is not connected directly with the truth. They are connected, but not directly with the truth. Here, the truth is spoken straightforward. Therefore, it's a very important chapter. You can say it's the very cream of all Krishna has spoken so far. And we say sometimes some places in the body is very sensitive, isn't it? We say like that. Some places are sensitive. So this is a very sensitive topic. Which one? This chapter. It's a very sensitive topic. And to come to this chapter, we had to travel through many other chapters which were not directly pointing to the truth. They were not directly pointing to the truth. For example, Varnashrama Dharma. It's not directly talking about the truth. It all talks about how to live in this world under the umbrella of varnam and ashrama. Varnashrama Dharma. So that's why sometimes it's difficult. This Varnashrama Dharma, some people have taken that as the goal of life. That cannot be the goal of life. It's there like that. What can you do? That Varnashrama Dharma is not the goal of life. Varnashrama Dharma is a stepping stone to come to that level. We don't have so much time in life. If the Varnashrama Dharma was there, it's well and good. But if it's not there, and if you are trying to create Varnashrama Dharma and all in this world, it will be a long drawn process. It's not in our hands, first of all. Three modes of material nature is constantly changing. And in that process, the world will be subjected to that change. You can't wait for all that to happen. If you say that only after Varnashrama Dharma is established, I'll become Krishna conscious. If you say like that, it may not happen. Your life is gone. Then you will have to come back here to establish Varnashrama Dharma in another life. If you get to, that's why you should not never get attached to anything to that extent. That's not very good, because that will that will not get you to the goal finally. Whatever strong thoughts you build up, vasana inside, that will determine your next life. So if I decide to get attracted to Varnashrama Dharma to that extent, and I think only if there is Varnashrama Dharma I'll take to Krishna consciousness. If you think like that, then there is a possibility that you may have to come back another one or two or I don't know how many lifetimes to establish Varnashrama Dharma here. That becomes a vasana on its own. Is it not? That's a danger there. In everything there is this danger.
So therefore, Acharya Swamiji says here that only Brahmavidya is the only thing you can get attached to. Brahmavidya, if you get attached, there is no harm, because you will realize the truth and you are gone then. You don't have the misery anymore. But if you get attached to any other dharmam, Sri dharmam, Raja dharmam, Purusha dharmam, whatever dharmam, similarly Brahmana dharmam, Kshatriya dharmam, all these other dharmam has only that much significance. To the extent that it can help, of course, there is no question about that. Dharmam varnashramanam shudipada vihidam. Vedam says that varnashram dharmam is helpful for developing bhakti. There is no question about that. So, in what we have seen before was, Kriya Yogam was spoken. You remember? 27th chapter, Kriya Yogam. Prior to that, Sankhya Yogam was spoken. Krishna spoke Sankhya Yogam also. Then, an expansion of that Sankhya Yogam is the next chapter, which was three modes of material nature. Sankhyam itself, and it's another aspect of the Sankhyam, is these three modes of material nature. How the three modes of material nature expands itself. And Krishna also confirmed there, due to the expansion of the three modes of material nature, due to that, variegatedness has come. Nanatvam. Veda buddhi and all has come because of the expanded form of these three modes of nature. These are very subtle things in the Bhagavatam. You won't see written in the translation or anything here. But those who have studied Bhagavatam in deeper level, they have understood that the why did this nanatvam comes to us? Veda buddhi. Why did that happen to us in the first instance? Due to the expanded nature of the three modes of material nature. Due to the expansion of the trigunam, the three modes of material nature, when that has expanded, these variations have come in the prakriti. That is why we have all these problems. Three modes of material nature, when it has expanded, vikasam, atriguna vikasam, that therefore nanatvam has come. Nanatvam means variegatedness in the prakriti. Everybody different, one different than the other. And all that was spoken in that chapter. Then that has also expanded in three forms as Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. And that has also happened in the form of senses, mind and the intelligence. Mind and the intelligence. And it also has expanded in the form of Stuvilam, Sushmam, Karanam. Stuvilam, which is the waking state, Sushmam, dream state, Karanam, deep sleep state. All these three states have come from where? Due to the expansion of the three modes. When we have waking state, Sattugunam causes waking state, Rajogunam causes dream state, Tamogunam causes deep sleep state. So, Trigunam, when the three modes of material nature, when they had expanded, it has expanded in such a way, it has created all these changes in us. In the form of Stula Sushma Karanam, Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti, senses, mind and the intelligence. And similarly, this same three modes of material nature has resulted in the form of different colors in this world. Black, red and white. Black, red and white. So, and similarly, it also changes in different tastes. We develop different tastes for different things. Shadrasam, six kinds of tastes, it says. So, all this is, why did all these variations happen? Because of three modes of material nature. Three modes of material nature is the cause behind all these things. Once the three modes of material nature has left a person, then he won't have this Veda buddhi anymore. Now we are saying that somebody is good, somebody is bad. Somebody is a friend, somebody is enemy. Veda buddhi in us. All of us, isn't it? And similarly, we are saying that he is right and he is wrong. Krishna is saying, who is right and who is wrong here? Everybody is in ignorance. In that ignorance, we are saying somebody is right and somebody is wrong. Somebody is a friend and somebody is enemy. This is due to the presence of the modes, three modes. And that is called gunabhavam. So, when gunabhavam has gone from a mind, gunabhavam, due to the gunabhavam means the three modes present inside the mind. That's called gunabhavam. Once the gunabhavam has gone, then the Vedabhavam will also go. Vedabuddhi or this Dvandvam, all these things are due to the presence of Gunabhavam inside. So that is called Vedabhavam. So if Gunabhavam goes away, Vedabhavam also will go. Vedabhavam also will go. So, and when Vedabhavam goes away, it is called Abhedam. Abhedam, without any Bhedam. So, and he will lose his Vedabuddhi. That Vedabuddhi will go. Vedabuddhi is such a dirty thing that it becomes sometimes too strong in people's mind that it affects them to such an extent, even though they may have come to spiritual life, that Vedabuddhi has not left them. It is disturbs them a lot. So that has to come back, that Vedabuddhi has to go from inside, and it is for that purpose all these things were spoken. Which one? Kriya Yogam, Sanghya Yogam, Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam and Sanghyam, all these things are spoken for that purpose. So a person who has heard all these things and developed himself in that way, Vedabhavam has gone from here, from inside, and he has to get established in that one truth, that is Krishna. He has to get established in the truth. Abheda Buddhi has to come and establish there. So at least even after coming there, there is Prakriti and Purusha again. There is again that difference, Prakriti and Purusha. So that point in Sankhyam, we have removed the three modes of material nature, has gone away from inside, Vedabhavam has gone, but still finally there is these two things, Purusha and Prakriti, another difference there. So even that has to go. That is where Vedantam and Sankhyam changes. Sankhyam says Prakriti and Purusha exist. Vedantam says no, only Purusha exists. Prakriti also gets dissolved in the Purusha. So Prakriti Purusha means, what it means is Drashtava Drishyam. The person who is seeing and the vastu that is being seen. So so seeing something or touching something, tasting something, in other words, all other activities of the senses are still present when there is Drishyam. But when Drishyam also disappears, only Drashtava is present. Person who is seeing is present. Drishyam gets dissolved in the Drashta or the seer. Or the seer. So that is what we are talking about in the last class, in the summer. Then, as I mentioned, that everything that you hear is the Drishyam. When we say Drishyam, Drishyam Drashta does not mean in the sense eyes and the object. For example, ears, its object is the sound. Tongue, its object is the food or taste, whatever. And then nose, its object is the smell, whatever you are smelling. So similarly, mind has got its object or the thoughts. Thoughts are the mind. So you can see there that everything in this creation is nothing but the objects of the senses. For senses to act on something, you need objects, sense objects. So sense objects will fall into these five categories. Five knowledge of the senses will divide this world into five categories. So that senses and the intelligence, all these things are jadam. Jadam means dead matter. Only because, suppose for example, I am seeing some object with my eyes. The object is dead matter. Similarly, eye is also dead matter. It's just a hole put up with some technique inside, set up in the form of retina and pupil and all that. A mechanism that's been set up here. It's only a mechanism, this eye. And the behind this mechanism to operate and this interaction to happen with the object, you require that thing called mind. But even if the mind is present, still it cannot work. Is it not? The object is there, the mechanism is there in the form of eye, and the mind is there. But if all of them has to come together and have its effect, then Atma is required inside. Without presence of Atma, this cannot function. That's why a person who die, suppose somebody, young man is dead, his eyes are in good shape, and all the worldly objects are there, but he can't see. Vision is not possible. There's no drishyam there, isn't it? Even if you make his eyes wide open with the hand, pull it open like this, still he can't see. He's not seeing. Perception is not there still. So from there you can understand that the eyes cannot see. Eye is not seeing. Who is seeing? The Atma inside. It is his presence that makes that eye to see things. If he is there, eyes will see, mind will experience after seeing, after the vision. So, when you realize the self, all these things disappears. In what way? For example, without the life, without life, these objects can stay on their own. Objects are always there. I am not seeing them does not mean that they don't exist. They are still existing there, isn't it? So, therefore, their existence is registered only when I am there. That's where it is it not? They are registered, we are accepting them as a reality only when my life comes into that, when the life is present there. So, practically you can say that anything in this creation, it has existence only if I am present. This is an important principle. In Vedantam, you will see this. Because unfortunately what happens to us all is that we come to this world and we think all this is real, 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 real. What we forget is, we are the real, not that. Not the vastu is not real, I am the real thing. And once I move away from here, all this is not real to me. Is it not? So it is only real to the extent that when I am here, it is real. If I go to Mars or Moon, for me this is not real anymore. Mars is real, or Moon is real, or something else is real. So the word, when we use this word reality, you have to be careful also. That reality refers to in relationship with you, that is real. Is it not? So, so that if I am not there, all these things have no meaning. What meaning has God for the creation? Whether it exists, it doesn't exist, what does it matter? Similarly, all if you look into the whole creation, so many stars, so many planets, everything, what has it got to do with me? I don't even know anything about them. And even if the so-called astronomers, they bring me all the information about them, whether Saturn is 10 times the size of the Earth planet, or Mercury is smaller than the Earth planet. This is the kind of information they are bringing to us, isn't it? Through their telescopes and different observations, they collect all this data about all these kinds of planets and bring it and give it to us. Does it really matter? What does it matter? And also, I can't see Saturn unless I go and look through their telescope, one thing. Secondly, whatever that's going on in the Saturn, it's not affecting me at the moment, is it not? But unnecessarily I'm worrying about Saturn, thinking that, oh, what's happening inside their Saturn? This is the madness of this scientific inquiry. The modern science is taking you in the wrong way, not realizing that they're not taking into account that you are the important person there, not Saturn. Or the world, rest of the world. And when you have gone from here, then everything is over. Everything is over. So, similarly, therefore, in all this whole process, It is a living force that's more important than all the objects. All the objects. And, for example, you can say like this, that if I am not there, then none of them is existing, if I am not there, in this way. For, you can only see the earthen clay pot. Clay pot is, say for example, there is a clay pot. When you look at the clay pot, you can't deny the existence of earth in there. Earth has become clay and clay has become a pot, isn't it? You can only say that, you can't say that pot is different from the earth. Pot is not different from the earth. And you can't look at the pot and say there is no pot, there is only earth. They're together. They're always together. So, but one thing, karyam karanam it is called. They're together, but at the same time, earth is the cause of the pot. So earth is karyam and pot is karanam. Earth is karanam and pot is karyam. Earth is karanam, cause and effect, in other words. Earth is the cause and pot is the effect. Pot cannot exist without earth. But earth can exist without pot. This is the principle of Bhagavatam. You will see this in the beginning. Anvaya Vedirekam. Have you seen that? Anvaya Vedireka Abhyam Yatsyal Sarvatra Sarvada. I think it is in the second canto. Karanam Karyam. Cause, effect. What we have to understand is, pot cannot exist without earth. Earth can exist without pot. So earth is the cause, pot is the effect. Pot is the effect. Karya karanam, that's what it's called. And the same thing is called anvayam vidiregam. Anvayam means that if earth is existing, pot can exist. Pot can exist. Vidiregam means vidiregam means that pot cannot exist when earth can exist. Earth can exist, but pot can need not exist. Pot need not exist, but earth can exist. So this is karya karanam. Now it is based on all that Krishna is going to say the many things in this chapter. So, but due to gunabhavam, what is in the three modes of material nature is all the gross activities of the Maya. Maya's gross activities, that is. Maya means, this word Maya is a very difficult word to explain sometimes. Maya also means three modes of material nature, isn't it? But when we say the word Maya, you are taking it in one way. Oh, it's all Maya Prabhu, we say. Is it not? Sometimes we say like that. It's all Maya, we say. But we are not really conscious of the way Maya is acting. Whereas when you say three modes of material nature, you feel it's much more real. When you say it's Maya, you feel it's not so real. When you say it's three modes of material nature, it appears to us as though it's very real. There is some three modes, one, two, three, and one of the modes is operating, and sattvagunam, rajagunam, tamagunam, and it's more, little bit more in a different way defined. But generally we will say Maya, it's all Maya anyway. So Maya is the cause behind this, reason behind this. This gunabhavam has created by Maya, and the gross way the Maya operates is through the senses, in our five senses. That is the way through which the Maya manifests in a gross level, in a gross level. When I say gross level means that when it operates through the five senses, you are fully aware of that. What's happening, isn't it? Eating, sleeping, or any other, mating, defending, in any kind of senses or activity is going on, you can more or less say that Maya's activity in the gross level is through the senses. is through the senses. And only thing is, this capacity for the mind to interact through the senses and experience the world in the form of Maya, all this can only happen because of the presence of me inside, whom I don't even see. I can't even see that person who is present inside, because I am so gross myself. Therefore, all I am knowing now is this world, the senses, the mind to some extent, but mostly the senses, and the experiences of the senses with the sense objects. That's all is known to me. But what I do forget all the time is that all these things are happening in the background of the presence of Atma, who is present inside, who is Chaitanya, living force inside. And he is the one who is actually responsible for all these things. Not the mind, not the body, not the senses, nor the world. It's only because of the presence of that Chaitanya or living force inside that all these things are happening one after the other. The senses are selecting the sense object, senses interact with the sense objects, senses brings the experience to the mind and creates the vasanas inside, Veda Buddhi inside. All this whole process is happening because of my presence behind the scene. Is it not? You have to think all these things very carefully, because when we are used to another way of thinking. That's the problem. We have been educated to think in a different way. And therefore, when Vedantam and when Krishna is saying to us to think in a different way, we find it difficult. We are finding it difficult to accept it. But when you get more and more established in this understanding, then you will be able to judge between the two how empty the whole modern science is. Modern science is empty. It has learned certain things, how to manipulate the material elements, how to manipulate certain things. Apart from that, when it goes to the subtle level, it is empty. Totally empty. It has no knowledge. Absolutely nothing to offer. It finishes with the body and the mind. On a superficial level, so many things they have succeeded in doing that. And that they have learned how to control them. But that is one of the Aishwarya Siddhis, you can say, that they have attained in that way. But beyond than that, on a deeper level, what Krishna is talking about, there is no knowledge of that there. What Krishna is saying here is, try to understand this, that I am present inside in this package. Me, Atma, Antaryami is present there. Outwardly, I have contact with this world through the senses, through the mind, and interaction is going on. And what is after effect of that? The modes of material nature has gone in, they have expanded, the Trigunam has expanded, and because of the expansion of the three modes of material nature, what has happened? Happiness and distress I am experiencing, and apart from that, I have also created Veda Buddhi. Is it not? Veda Buddhi has come from that. Veda Buddhi is the one, what we call in a different way, Ragadvesham. Ragadvesham is nothing but Veda Buddhi in a different format. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna used the word Ragadvesham. Here Krishna uses the word Veda Buddhi. But Vastu is the same. Same experience or effect in us. What you have to think about is the effect in us. What is the effect on us? The effect in us is, it's created this Veda Buddhi or Ragadvesham inside. So, what in all these things, that if we, Krishna is saying to us that, remember that verse? Vacham micha mano icha pranindriyanicha kalpase dhvani, he said. In the 14th or chapter 1, we looked at that verse. Then, and here also in the end of Bhikshita also is saying, dundvair naivabhi bhuyate, dundum has to go. So, if dundum has to go, what has to be done? Why? What has to be done? This, all other things, that means the mind, the senses, the sense objects, all these things are playing a role in creating this dvandva. They have taken up the major part of it. And I have misunderstood that they are all existing, instead I am not existing as far as the moment. I am saying, I don't know whether I exist or not, but they are all existing. This is that what is called avidya. Avidya is this, that mind is existing, body is existing, senses are existing, sense objects are existing. But am I existing? I'm not sure. I don't know about that, I'm existing or not. This is my current thinking. What Krishna is saying to us is that this misunderstanding has to go. Only you are existing. Mind doesn't exist. Intelligence doesn't exist. Ego doesn't exist. Senses don't exist. Sense objects also don't exist. If you have come to that state, and then you will get free from this duality. It is because you are thinking that you don't exist, they all exist, as far as we are concerned now. Therefore, we are saying this is good, this is bad, and this is nice, this is not so nice, this is tasty, this is not tasty, this is happiness, this is distress. All these Vedabhavam has come, why? Because of Gunabhavam. Gunabhavam has created the Vedabhavam. And because of that, what happened? Because of this Vedabuddhi has come inside, some things I am praising and some things I am condemning. Is it not? Some people I am glorifying and some others I am insulting. Some people I am saying they are good, some other people I am saying they are bad. Why? Because of the expansion of the three modes of material nature, and due to that expansion of the three modes of material nature, that in us this Vedabhavam has become deeply rooted. Vedabuddhi has become, and Vedabhavam has come very strongly. And the after effect of all this is, it happens in our behavior in this world. Right and wrong, good and bad, and we consider someone as good, somebody as bad. Variations have come in us. And similarly, I say I insult someone and someone else I glorify somebody. And something I like and it pleases me, and something else I don't like, it upsets me. It upsets me. So, and based on that, some things I accept and some things I reject. Based on that. So, in reality, Krishna is saying, this duality has not happened. Dvandvam has not happened. It has only happened in us. It has not happened. In the world, nobody is telling me. No. For example, BMW car is not telling me I am better than the Mercedes. Is it? The car is not telling me anything. As far as car is concerned, it is still the metal and all the other dead matter, what it was made of. Mercedes car is also same, BMW is also the same. Where is that differentiation in my mind? Is it not? So that is where this Gunabhavam has created the expansion of the three modes of material nature. Gunabhavam has created Vedabhavam. And that Vedabhavam has created in me. In me it has happened. In reality there is no differences between the two. They are one and the same. Both are made of the same materials. So suppose this Gunabhavam has gone away from inside, then what will happen? Vedabhavam will go. Gunabhavam goes away, Vedabhavam will go. So if Vedabhavam is not there, then what will happen? Then you don't have to glorify anybody and you don't have to insult anybody. Insult? You cannot do it anymore after that. Once the Vedabhavam has gone, then you won't glorify anybody and you won't criticize anyone either. Neither of them will stop. Both of them will stop. Whereas normally what do we say? Oh, you got to appreciate what he is doing, people say. So you have to praise somebody for that. And if you don't, they'll say that if you don't appreciate, you don't feel inspired to do something. So for the sake of inspiration, you have to praise somebody. And then someone else is doing something wrong, you have to criticize that person. And you have to condemn him for something what they have done. But after these things are okay in the Vyavahara level. In the Vyavaharikam we may do all these things. But once you come to the spiritual level, spiritual platform, you got to see this, the effect of all that in people. Because you are completely on a mundane level, you are conducting your Vyavahara, isn't it? So at that point it may be justified in doing all these things. But it starts from the early days in life, isn't it, as a student, we start putting people in different boxes. Somebody has got only C, we say. Someone else has got B. Someone has got A. Someone has got all A stars. So then you start looking at each other. He's useless. He's got only 5 C's. This person has got 5 A stars. So then we keep saying, oh, he's very intelligent, he's dull. We classify people like this all the time. It starts from the childhood. What to talk about other things. And then after that, everything else in the rest of the life is also the same thing continues for the rest of the life. So this this process, somebody is good, somebody is bad, somebody is capable, somebody is not capable, somebody is right, somebody is wrong, all these things, and somebody you will accept, somebody you will reject. Because once you know somebody is there with A star, you will say, yes, yes, you are the good one. The other one, you are useless, go, go. So we have rejected somebody already based on that, by the buddhi, where the buddhi has come. And you go to a job, to look for a job, in the interview, they look into your CV and say, oh, you got all these things, you are the one we want. You cannot. In reality, after the job, you are not sure whether that person is going to do the job well. He may go for. Now the employers are saying that, well, if you can take a too qualified a person, he may be too ambitious and he may leave the job and go. Then you'll have to get another one again. So all those sorts of problems, Veda Buddhi creates from that. So anyway, important thing is, we are not discussing Vyavaharam here, we are discussing Shastram. Krishna is saying here that this Veda Buddhi has created the problem. And Veda Buddhi has to go. And if Veda Buddhi has to go, you cannot appreciate anyone's Swabhavam or Karma. That's the first thing. Two things. One is Swabhavam, other one is Karma. So, because of this, what has happened? Ragadvesham has come. Veda Buddhi has created the Ragadvesham as well. And due to that, attachment to something and you distance yourself from something else, this is called material existence. So all these things are happening through the mind. Happening through the mind, isn't it? So if the mind, because the mind has not become shanti inside, mind has not become completely absorbed in the spiritual life, and because it has not turned inwards sufficiently, andarmukhattam, it has not happened to that, it is because of that this problem is going on. Veda Buddhi and Dvandvam. All these problems is because of this. Because without the mind, in this whole process, without the mind, material existence cannot be there. So if all the thoughts in the mind has gone away, and the mind is completely surrendered, and if you have become purely the consciousness, or the living force, then the vastu has gone, the mind has gone away, then what is left then? Only the Atma is left. The force that links Atma with the sense objects and the senses is the mind. So that is why, if the thoughts all goes away, then where is the mind? There is no mind left over. That is why they say, mind is manomayam. Creation, the world is manomayam, Krishna says. Krishna started this. If you look into the 11th canto, you will see this from the very beginning, Krishna saying there, manomayam, manomayam, manomayam. In the 7th chapter, when he started talking about the to Uddhava, Krishna says there that vidhi maya manomayam, he says, that is the yadidam manasam vajam chakshubhyam shravanadibi nashvaram grihyamanam cha Vidhi Maya Manomayam. Mayamayam Manomayam. Krishna begins that, this teaching of to Uddhava. First thing is, know Uddhava. You know this first. Accept this first. Vidhi Mayamayam Manomayam. It is Mayamayam, it is Manomayam. Why? Yadidam manasam vaja, manasa vaja, chakshurbhyam shravanadimi, nashwaram grihyamanam cha, vidhi maya manomayam, vidhi maya manomayam. What Krishna is saying there is, yadidam manasa vaja, whatever you are doing in this world with your mind, whatever it may be, and through what you speak, vaja, through chakshus, through your eyes, what you see, whatever you are hearing, chakshurbhyam shravanadibhi, means all the five senses. Yadidam manaso vaja chakshurbhyam shravanadibhi. No Uddhava, it is nashwaram. It has no real existence. It's something, some flash happening in life, coming and going, coming and going. Nashwaram grihyamanamcha. I know very well that vidhi, maya, manomayam, they are nothing but product of maya, product of the mind. Mind and the maya, they work together. Mind and the maya, they work together. And that is, that experience is what you are going through at the moment in life. This interaction with the mind and the maya. That is this life, so-called life, nothing more than that. And in that life, we are blaming somebody, we are saying somebody is great, somebody is stupid, and somebody is intelligent, somebody is dull, somebody is friend, somebody is enemy, all within this periphery of mayamayam manomayam. Nothing outside, everything. So, in order that Krishna begins the teaching like this to Uddhava, that yadidam manasa vaja chakshurbhyam shravanadibhi, nashwaram grihyamanam cha vidhi maya manomayam. So till we come out of the mind, till we come out of the maya, there is no hope. There is no hope. So that is giving a little bit more, an elaborate explanation to that in the 28th chapter. When he started, Krishna started these instructions, he put it in one verse. Tundu sarvam parityaja sneham svajane bandushu mayavesha mana samyak samadrak vijarasvagam. That is the sixth verse. He started with that. And immediately after that, to come to that state of the sixth verse, Tundu sarvam parityaja sneham svajane bandushu mayavesha mana samyak samadrak vijarasvagam. To come to that state, it is important to take the seventh verse seriously. Which one? Yadidam manasam vaja chakshubhyam sharvanadibhi nashuram grahimanancha vidhi mayamanomayam. Without that seventh support of the seventh verse, the sixth verse cannot stand on its own. Because it is the acceptance of, it is realizing the seventh is important for the sixth. For the sixth. And little bit more, few things he mentioned there. Pumso ayuktasya nanartho brahmasak gunadoshapha karmam akarma vikarmedi gunadosha dhiyo bhidaha. Tasmad yuktendriya gramam yukta chittam idam jagat alpanichasya vidatam alpmanam mayadhishvare. If you go back to those classes where we spoke about that, what does that mean? Alpanichasya vidatam alpmanam mayadhishvare. That Uddhava, there is only Alpma here. There is nothing else present here. Everything else, what you say is there, 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 is not there. Alpanichasya vidatam. If our vision is corrected, like we correct our vision with the glasses, isn't it? Similarly, if vision is corrected in the spiritual way, then this will happen. Alpanichasya vidatam. Alpanichasya vidatam. And alpmanam mayadhishvare. Only Krishna is present here, and everything is in Krishna's control. It's Krishna who is present in this world. Alpanichasya vidatam. Alpmanam mayadhishvare. Jnana vijnana samyuktam atma bhuta sharirinam atma anubhava tushta atma andarayer vihanyase dosha buddhyo bayadido nishedhana nivartate guna buddhyaja vihiram na karoti yatharbhagaha. Sarvabhuta Sahurushchando Jnana Vijnana Nishaya Pashyanmad Alpagam Vishwam Na Vibhadyeta Vai Punaha. So those verses 6 to 12, which we have spoken a lot previously when we discussed that at that time. Now I won't go back to all that, because each of those verses are really loaded verses, heavily loaded with knowledge, and able to take us out of this misunderstanding what we have got. I know misunderstanding won't go easily. We will discuss it again when we leave class. We'll think in the opposite way. Mind will switch back into another mode again. But at least while discussing, we have to always recognize that what Krishna has spoken is the truth, and it will remain as the truth always. It is not going to change. So that is why that verse 6 to 12, while instructions began, Krishna first did the same thing. Like I mentioned before in the Bhagavad Gita, he spoke the truth, an introduction. Then he expanded, and then he concluded. That's the way all great philosophers speak. First they will present their conclusions, and then they will expand their conclusions, and finally they will conclude that in a summary form. Like you can see in the Bhagavad Gita. Contents of the Bhagavad Gita summarized, second chapter. Contents, essence he has spoken in the second chapter. Bhagavad Gita actually finishes with second chapter. Then questions started. Arjuna asked a few questions. On the basis of that, Krishna expanded everything into 17 chapters. And then before concluding in the 18th chapter, Krishna summarized everything in the 18th chapter and finished the talk. Isn't it? So similarly here also, Ekadasha Skandham also you will see, Uddhava Padesham, instructions to Uddhava. In these 5-6 verses from 6 to 12, Krishna spoke the essence first. If you get these 6 to 12 verses properly inside, it's an amazing knowledge that is. It's something which you can never leave it behind. It will remain so strongly inside. Because so much is packaged into that 6 verses. Sorry, 7 verses. So much is packaged into it. So, Tondusarvam Paritijya up to Mashyan Padalpagam Vishwanna Vibhadyada Vaipana. That is the very message. And then questions started, like the way Arjuna started, Uddhava also started, and then it went on expanding further and further and further, and in this chapter 28 now, again summarizing the whole thing. Krishna is summarizing the whole thing. So that is why, because it, just like the 18th chapter had that importance in the Bhagavad Gita, because of the summarizing, this 28th chapter has also a similar importance. Actually, Krishna has summarized in 2 chapters here, to tell the truth. 28th and 29th. But 28th is summarized through jnanam and 29th is summarized through bhakti. To be precise. 28th and 29th is also summary, because these two ways exist, jnanam and bhakti. While summarizing it also, Krishna followed both in a different way. That's why 28th chapter is a summary, 29th is also a summary. But in 29, the only changes is, from 28th is, that everything is, if you can't follow this process of 28th, then the only alternative is the surrender, Sharanagati. To confirm and to establish that 29th was spoken. So that's how that chapters comes in the Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavatam. So as I mentioned before, that the Krishna's opinion is that because the three modes of material nature is present, and because of the presence of the three modes of material nature, everything becomes, Gunabhavam comes from that. Gunabhavam, three modes of material nature is Gunabhavam. Gunabhavam creates a Vedabhav, Vedabuddhi. And first thing is that the only factor that is linking all these things is the mind. Mind. And creation, the whole material existence is nothing but manomayam. Krishna says that, manomayam. And that manomayam, mind, manomayam means it is in the mind everything. It's in the mind everything. The creation is in the mind. And this mind is full of thoughts. Chindamayam. Chindamayam. And all the thoughts are three modes of material nature. Sattvam, Rajas, Tamas. Three modes are present in all the thoughts in us. If it is Sattvagunam, Sattviya thoughts will come. If it is Rajogunam, Rajasic thoughts will come. If it is Tamogunam, Tamasic thoughts will come. So, so these Gunabhavam, which has happened due to the modes of nature, we have to remove them from inside. Gunabhavam, we have to remove them from inside. How? Through Upasana. Alma Upasana. Through identifying with Alma or the soul. And that is the essence of all what Krishna has spoken so far in this. So suppose you are all the time absorbed in spiritual life. 24 hours. You are absorbed in spiritual life. Then Gunabhavam cannot happen. Gunabhavam won't happen. Gunabhavam is happening because you are associating with the modes. Suppose Krishna is Nirgunam, isn't it? He is not touched by the modes of nature. He is transcended them. He is always above the three modes of nature. Suppose you are always in contact with the transcendental state, which is Krishna. So if you want to come out of Gunabhavam, or if you want to come out of this Bedabhavam, then you have to be in contact with something which is not under the three modes of nature, which is not under Gunabhavam. And the only person who is not under the three modes of nature or Gunabhavam is Krishna. So if you are constantly in contact with Krishna, then Gunabhavam won't come to you, and therefore Bedabhavam also will go. This is the principle. This is the principle. And if the Gunabhavam does not happen, then purity has come. All impurities have gone away. And with the result was, there is no Namarubam coming to the mind anymore. Names and forms. Because Namarubam is what we are calling good and bad, right and wrong, and all other things, isn't it? And if the Namarubam does not happen, then Madam Malsaram, they will go. Madam is pride, ego, and competition, nature. Madam Alsaram. Similarly, Ragadvesham, that will all go if there is no Gunabhava. And finally, then what remains? At that point, you experience that there is only one Vastu, Alma, which is present here. And there is no Ragadvesham in the Alma. And this is the samskaram we have to create within us. This samskaram has to develop inside us. So, by saying all these things, it is this samskaram we are trying to get inside us. Only then you can say that some realization is happening. Not by doing all the rituals that you have got it. No, you won't get it by doing the rituals. This samskaram has to develop within us, and that is a samskaram for which purpose? Krishna has spoken there the first verse. Parasvabhava karmani na prashamsadi na nindadi. Vishwam ekalpagam pashyan prakritya purushena cha. That is the first verse. The first verse is saying, Parasvabhava karmani na prashamsadi na nindadi. Vishwam ekalpagam pashyan prakritya purushena cha. That is the introductory verse. Krishna is saying there that as long as you are absorbed in this Gunabhavam, Vedabuddhi and Gunabhavam, you are not helping the situation. Therefore, others Svabhavam, others Karmam, na prashamsadi, na nindadi. Don't have to prashamsa or glorify it, appreciate it, or na nindadi. You don't have to even criticize it or comment on that. Whatever that has happened, that's happened, what can be done? This relaxed nature has to come. Parasvabhava karmani na prashamsadi na nindani. Why? Vishwam egalpmagam Uddhava. In this creation there is only one thing. Egalpmagam pashyan. There is no prakriti, there is no purusha separately. They are all one only. Prakritya, purusha. But you are seeing this here in the world in the form of purusha and prakriti. We are seeing a person and we compare his svabhava, prakriti, separately. But that is not also correct. Vishwam ekalpadam, there is only one here. Brahma. And that is what is present here in the form of purusha and prakriti, what we are calling here. So, if you say here, that if it is like that, in our experience there is Namarupam all the time. They are appearing and disappearing, isn't it? But even though they are appearing and disappearing, because they are appearing and they are disappearing, you have to accept that they are temporary. They are not permanent. They are not permanent. So temporary things are not truth. If you say something is temporary, it is not truth, isn't it? Truth means what? Satya. It has to exist all the time. Otherwise it's not truth. That is why we say Jagat is mithya. It's not existing all the time. So it's false. It is false. See? Just because something is temporary doesn't mean it is truth. Real absolute truth is that thing which exists all the time, which cannot undergo changes, which remains in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end. Then it is truth. Otherwise it's not. That's why body is not truth. Mind is not truth. All these things are not truth. So therefore, temporary objects, what we experience in this world, they are not truth. And suppose you have developed faith in those objects. If you have developed faith in that, that means you have put your faith in the false things, asatyam. That you are accepting it as truth, isn't it? And that means you are accepting the false things as truth, and the real thing you are not accepting as the truth. You are not believing in the real thing. Real thing is Atma. There you are not believing. But false things you are accepting as truth, and you are believing in that as the truth. So such a person, Krishna is saying, how is he going to experience his self? A person who is like that, how can he experience Atma? How will it happen? He is asking like that. So therefore, first thing is, satyam you have to accept, asatyam you have to give up. Asatyam you have to give up. And asatyam, all the namarupam in this world, creation is all asatyam. It's all asatyam. So that namarupa padartham, it is the namarupam that is taking all the three modes of material nature. And in the whole creation itself, it is only namarupam that is present here with the three modes of material nature, and it is appearing to in front of us in these three categories of goodness, passion and ignorance. Sattvam, Rajasa and Tamasa. And it is because of the three modes of material nature only we are seeing this Stulam, Sushmam, Karanam. Stula, Sushmam, Karanam. And because of that, due to Sattvagunam, we see things in a gross level, Stulam. Due to Rajogunam, we see things in a little subtle level, due to Rajogunam. That is, how it is understood. In the Sattvagunam state, which is the vacant state, our perception is Stulam, isn't it? Our perception is Stulam. When the Sattvagunam is present, it's a vacant state. But when you go into the dream state, in Rajogunam, which is Rajogunam, is the dream state, it is a little bit more subtle. You shouldn't get confused this with the other way we say. When we say Sattvagunam develops Sushma Buddhi, that is also there. That's also there. Because only in Sattvagunam you can understand the subtle things of spiritual life on the intellectual level. But when you come to our normal state of life in this world, Stula Buddhi or is in the vacant state. And Sushma Buddhi Sushma state is the Rajoguna state or the dream state. And in the Tamogunam, when it is enveloping us completely, Tamogunam takes over us, we experience our existence only in the Karana Shariram, Karana Swarupam. And that Karana Swarupam or Karana Shariram is called Avidya. And in that Avidya we are floating and we are feeling happy there. But Avidya is present there. That's the problem of the deep sleep state. In the deep sleep state, gross body is not there.
Mind is not there. Intelligence is not there. The ego also has gone away. But what's there present? Avidya is there. Ignorance is there. And therefore, due to tamogunam, in that avidya, which is tamogunam, that I am present in that moment, in that deep sleep state, as karana swarupam. That's all my karana shariram. Karana shariram is my existence in there. So, if all these three modes of material nature has left me, then in all these three states, I would not exist in that way. Stula sushma karanam will go away from me, if the three modes of material nature has gone away. And at that time, what exists is only pure Atma or Brahmam. Or Brahmam. So it is this Brahmam anubhavam, or experience of the Brahmam, is what we require. And what we have done now, we have forgotten that truth, that we are Brahmam. Aham Brahmasmi, that is our Brahmam, is our state. That we have forgotten, and we have generated a whole bunch of false cities around us, asatyam. And we created that, and we are thinking that that's all the truth. That is the satyam. This is how we are living now, at this point in time. So, this is the cause of the person's ignorance, and that is the very foundation of his material existence, or samsara. Foundation of the material existence. And this we have created ourselves. We have created ourselves. And we alone can throw it away. We alone can throw it away. And as long as you are not prepared to do that, up to that time you will remain in this material existence. That means again and again you will engage in karma. Again and again you will create more birth and death. And this continuation cycle will continue. There is nothing is going to happen. Nothing is going to change. Nobody is going to come and tell you, come out of it. No. It will keep on doing, happening the same thing. Nobody has any responsibility in this world. These are all important things. Because you have created the world. You have created the world. And actually you are thinking that you have created this world. And everybody who comes here is basically what is happening is, he's experiencing his prarabdham. That's all it is. Jiva is experiencing its prarabdham. And so then you may ask the question, but I have to do my duty, isn't it? Everybody will say that. I have to do my duty, don't they? So, I got my family, and family I have to look after. They will say like that. Otherwise people will say that, what kind of man is he? He is not providing for his family. That is all true, that's all true up to a limit. You have to ask the question, where did this family come from? First of all, we are identifying strongly with. If you think about that, you have to understand that that prarabdham has come in the form of family. The family is also nothing but your prarabdham that is. People will ask this question. As soon as you say that, people will protest. They'll say, what? What is that? You're saying to us that you don't have to look after the family? But try to understand that family has also come due to your prarabdham. It has come. Otherwise, there is no close connection with the family due to the prarabdham connection that is. Isn't it? And if you are thinking that you are looking after them and you are protecting them, that is because of your ego you are thinking like that. Ahankaram inside, that you are thinking that, oh, you are maintaining the family. It's because of you the whole family life is going on smoothly. Householder's problem, all this is. Householder's problem. Actually, what's happening is, he is living his prarabdham in this world. He is living his prarabdham in this world. And one day you will notice, if you die and go away from here, the others will continue in this world. Whether it's your wife or children or whoever is there, they'll be living here. As I mentioned yesterday, that first 5 or 6 days there will be a little bit of unhappiness and all that. But then it goes finished with that, your so-called relationship is over. What Shastram is telling us that, that your business here is that if you can escape from this prarabdham and not create further prarabdham for the future and go back to your spiritual identity, and that is what is required. Prarabdham you can't escape, you are told that before.
Prarabdham will be there. But you can avoid creating fresh prarabdham. That you can do. That not to get connected with the world to that extent. To create further karmam, farmam, vasana and all other things. So, only thing is, Krishna is saying here, that if you can avoid creating fresh prarabdham, allow this body to go through the prarabdham and at the same time move away from the prarabdham and get established in the truth through knowledge and bhakti. Jnanam and bhakti. So that is what is required to know who we are and to get established in that truth and remain in that state. So if you ask the question, oh, what will happen to the body then? We have to eat something, isn't it? That question will come. But from the Vedanta point of view, it's a little difficult thing for ordinary people to accept that, because Vedanta says, why you expect want you to keep this body going? That's the answer from the Vedantic side. If it stands there, let it stay. If it's not staying, let it go. Why bother? So, because this body, you have to look all these things from Krishna's point of view, how Krishna is putting it to us. Krishna is saying to us that if the body stays, let it stay. If it's not staying, let it go. Because what did you get by keeping this body? This is Krishna's question to us. Which is very logical, isn't it? But because we are so absorbed in the body, we find that Krishna is a little bit odd. Or he's not understanding us properly, we say. Krishna is not. That is why as soon as you speak Krishna consciousness on a deeper level, nobody wants it. Nobody wants it. All they want is some music, dance, feasting, and it's a good time. In that level they want to stay. And there you will get thousands of people to come. There will be no problem. But as soon as you start speaking what Krishna has spoken on a deeper level, nobody has time for that. Nobody is interested. That you can see yourself all the time. If you keep in that level of singing, dancing, music, feast, you will get thousands to come. Thousands will come. Because it's interesting. Isn't it? Who doesn't want a good feast? Tell me. Who doesn't want a good feast? And if you tell what Bhikshu has told us to him, he says he does not understand Krishna consciousness. They will say about Bhikshu. They say Bhikshu does not understand Krishna. We understand. Because we know what all are required for a feast. And Bhikshu's food, what was given to him, was completely thrown into, he could not eat it anymore. So there are two different levels. In one level, it's okay if you want to be in that level to remain the rest of the life, like everybody thinking that, oh, they're saying that this bhakti yoga is such a beautiful process. You don't have any hassle like in the jnanam and karmam and sankhyam and all that. Always jolly, always happy, always fun, and what not. And finally everything is over, go back there. Enjoy there also. Here also you're enjoying, there also you're enjoying. This way we create an illusion in people's head, saying that spiritual life is all a good time. And we have pumped this strongly into people's head, and they also said that, yeah, yes, that's alright, suits us. Because in this process, we can have all family life together, socializing together, club life together, and all birthday parties, all our marriages, all our this, that, everything what you want, you can all have it together. So it gives you an opportunity for that kind of spiritual life. But Krishna is saying to us that you have accepted all these things, and Krishna is saying, why do you insist this body should remain? That's Krishna's question to us. Why you are insisting this body should remain? This body has only given you problem from beginning to end. Is it not? So without this deep realization inside, if you act in the Krishna consciousness completely on the bodily level, it is a total waste of time. It's not going to get you anywhere. You will live like this. Instead of having a jolly good life somewhere else, you're having it in the temple or in the your club or wherever it is. And then in the end, the time of death, you are dying, leaving the body with the same consciousness you have started the whole business. There's no difference at all. That is the thing. When you have to remember this, that what do you want in life? If you want to be happy and jolly and comfortable in life with all your friends and family and society, and Bhakti Yoga is the club for that, then you may as well have your karmi club outside. Why waste time in the temple? But when this understanding comes like this, it creates problem. Krishna is saying to us, this body has only given you problem, nothing else from beginning to end. Therefore, you can see, when he discussed in the 14th chapter, 11th canto, how did Krishna say that? Yavat sual guna vaishamyam tavan anatam alpana nanatam alpano yaval paradandrem tadaivahi. You will see this in the 14th chapter, I think. That when sometimes he wants us it is in the 10th chapter. 10th chapter, 10:32. 33, all those verses, that yavalsi alguna vaishamyam tavan nanatvam alpana nanatvam alpano yaval paradandrem tadaivahi yavasyala sudandratvam tavadishwarado bhayam ya edan samubhasiram te muhyandishu charpidaha. Those two verses. Yavatsyal gunavaishamyam tavan nanatum alpana nanatum alpano yavat paranandrem tadevahi yavalsyal asudandratvam tavad ishwarado bhayam ya edal samubhasinam te muhyandi shucharpidaha. And again in another places also he said that, if you look at the 20th verse in the 10th chapter, ko anvartha sukhayatyenam kamo vamrtirandige aghadam niyamanasya vadya sevana tushtida ko anvartha sukhayatyenam kamo vamrtirandige aghadam niyamanasya vadya sevana tushtida. A person who has been condemned to be hung, a man has committed something and he has been condemned by the court to be hung in the morning, say tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, he is going to be hung. And you are, say, going and asking him, tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock we are going to hang you. But if you have any desire before that, if you ask, we can fulfill that desire. Say, for example, if you want to see some movie which you liked very much, you want to see that movie. Or if you want a good feast, particularly with items what you like, we can prepare that for you. But tomorrow morning at 7, we'll hang you. Will that person be interested? What interest will he have? Aghadam niyamanasya vadya sevana tushtida. So, similarly, court has said this in his case, in a person's case. We are all in the same boat today. At one, it is coming. It's already decided when we are going to be hung, when we lose this body. And when it is going on like this, like the criminal who has been condemned to be hung, similarly we are also criminals, one sense. We are all being condemned to be hung one day, isn't it? That's when we lose this body. And we are always living in that fear of losing this body, which is called the death, which is death is going to happen. So Krishna is saying here that in this situation, you are look at your own body and saying, is it giving you happiness or is it giving you anxiety? You are thinking that body is giving you happiness, but in reality it is giving you more anxiety than anything else. So, karmani dukodarkani, there will so many verses after that also. So, when it comes to philosophical understanding, Krishna's point is that, Krishna's position on this is that, if you have not come to understand that the body is only giving you anxiety, body is only going to give you distress, if you have not understood that, then freedom from the body is not possible. Freedom from the body is not possible. Till you recognize this one point, that this body has only given me problem, it has only given me anxiety and fear, and all my life is just to maintain this ungrateful phenomenon called body, who will not even say a thank you to you when it leaves. After putting you through whole life in misery, and finally last few years or few months also before leaving the body, He takes over the whole life, all your time and energy, and then he goes. And he says, do you have to be grateful to this body? And because he's saying here that, and then you are saying that, oh, if I don't look after the body, who will look after the body? Is that not your ignorance, Krishna is asking us? Is that not your ignorance that is coming from you, that asking this question? And you are struggling whole life for the sake of this body. And actually, is this body, is it making you happy or in distress? It only makes you in distress. It never makes you happy, this body. It's a false misunderstanding. It's a misunderstanding in us, the body is making you happy. So, and you are insisting that this body should remain forever. And that's what you are working for, the illusion in us, isn't it? So, no matter how much distress it gives to us, still we insist that we have to maintain this body, we won't let the body go. If it wants to go, we'll try, science will try, the doctors will try, everybody will try, if we can keep it going. He may be lying in the bed for the rest of the life. He can't do anything. But still they are saying, oh, we have succeeded in keeping him alive for another 36 hours or 48 hours. So, so what is the profit from this? Krishna's question. What is the profit from this? Not only that you have no profit, but you have got a loss as well. That let it come or go, body. That is approach. Krishna's approach is like that. Let the body come or go. Whatever happens, let it happen. But my business is to realize the truth. That is the introduction to this 28th chapter. That let the body come and go. Body is not the important thing, but my business is self-realization. Knowing who I am, realizing myself, that's the most important thing for me at the moment. And it is in this background this 28th chapter has been spoken. So first thing to understand that body is not important. Body has only if you have this background, then you can understand this 28th chapter. 28th chapter is under this umbrella that body is not important. Body has only given me problem. Body has only given me misery here. And it only frightened me all my life, one way or the other. And which is the truth also, you can't deny that. And therefore, I'm not going to waste all my lifetime in maintaining this body to perfection. I will do what is necessary, essential thing, so that let it carry on without becoming an issue to others, to that extent possible. But that maintaining this body itself is not the purpose of the life. That's the important point. I may do necessary things because in this world, when you have a body, some vyavaharam will be there through the body. That comes in the form of family, prarabdham and all that, other things. Because of that, some things may be necessary. But beyond that, if you get attached to this body and maintain this body, your spiritual life will not go anywhere. It will get stuck there itself. That's finished there. So that is the first thing Krishna wants to mention to us in this chapter. And that go inwards, look inwards and find out the truth inwards and spend your rest of the life in that way. And if you do like that, that is the profit. If you live in that way. Because that if you do it by doing it that way, you will come out of this gunabhava. You will come out of this Veda Buddhi. And in the course of time, you will not get another body again. That's the advantage. That is the advantage. That means, for that purpose, that looking at others and then commenting or comparing their swabhavam with others, their dharma and their good and bad, all these things, glorifying that or criticizing that, and based on that, creating ragadvesham inside. If you do all that, then you will get distracted from the truth. You will get, that's the second verse. Parasvabhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi. So ashubhrashade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. Krishna says, is it not? Then, that's the second verse. Parasvabhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi. So ashubhrashade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. Because you are dealing with asatyam and your abhinivesham is in the asatyam. Therefore you have lost it. Finish there. Spiritual life is over. So, it is from that point Krishna is saying, you will never be able to come back to your spiritual platform and realize the self. So, what you have to realize is the truth, not the false things. And world is nothing but namarupam, which is false, names and forms. And even after knowing all these things, still you are chasing after them. But you have to give up asatyam and know the satyam. Remember in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna started that, he meant started nasato vidyade bhav, that verse. Satyam is the sat, asatyam is the asat, isn't it? So from asatyam, you have to come to satyam. We are in the asatyam mode at the moment, asatyam mode. From the asatyam mode, you have to come to the satyam and establish in the satyam. And this is what we have to achieve in this world. And a person who has come to that state, then he has nothing else to achieve here. Krishna is saying, nothing else to achieve here. So we'll continue after a few minutes.
Cheto darpanam arjanam vaumaha davagni narvapanam shreyakaitava chandriga vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandam buddhivardhanam mridipada purnamridaswadhanam sarvatna suvanam varam vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namnamagari bahudha nija sarva shakti natrapida nimida smarane nakalam Edadrishi Davakrupa Bhagavan Mamabi Dubdeva Midrishami Hajanina Nuragaham Tranara Vishuni Jaina Tarora Visahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtani Sadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundayim Kavidamba Jagadi Shakamai Mama Janmani Janmani Shri Bhavadad Bhaktirahai Dugi Dui Ayi nanda danuja kinderam padidamam shami bhavambudo tavapada pangajasti daduli sadrasham jindaya Ayi namgalada shodaraya vadanam gadgadirudhaya giram lagayam jidangada vabhu tavannam grahane bhavishyadi yuga idam nimeshena chakshusha pravisha idam Shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name Ashlishyava padaradam pineshtuma Adarshanam marmahadam karyotuva Yathadadava vidadadulam bhado Alpranathasuna evana param Paraswabhava karmani Shri Bhagavanu vacham Paraswabhava karmani Naprasham sen nagarhaye Vishwamegalpagam pashyan pragritya purushe nacham Paraswabhava karmani Yaprasham sadinindadi Sa ashubrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshadam So, those two verses what we have discussed so far, Krishna has pointed out that the nature of this body, which is not our real state of existence and also not something to be wanted, it's not something we like to have it, but it has been forced upon us by the material nature. And Krishna is also pointing out to us that the body has not done anything good to you. All it has given you is pain and problems, and finally it leaves you, keeps you always under fear, a state of fearful state. And then eventually it leaves you without any warning. So, Krishna says that, therefore, important thing is, you have to come to the platform of the truth. What is the truth? So, Krishna says, think about the three states first. And in those three states, one person says, I like to do like this, in this way, or I have to do it in that way.
Or sometimes we say, I have to do this, I have no other choice. And it has to be done immediately. In this way, different vyavaharams will carry on in the vacant state. And it while doing all these things, suppose he got a little bit tired and he fall asleep. He's fallen asleep. And while sleeping, what happens? All his mind and the senses has gone and dissolved itself. Is it not? So Indriyam means senses and the mind, it dissolves itself. And after sleeping for a while, first initially he falls into that sleepy mood and then he starts sleeping. And suppose, while sleeping the senses have already stopped its function, is it not? But the mind is still operating and he starts dreaming. And in that process, eventually the mind also dissolves and he goes into deep sleep state. And in the deep sleep state, you have come out of the influence of Namarupa. Name and form is not there anymore. In the vacant state and in the dream state, name and form exist. In the deep sleep state, name and form has gone. There is no name and form after that. So, otherwise, if you are in the dream state, still you are experiencing Namarupam. Is it not? In the dream state also, there is Namarupam. That is what we call it as dream. The state where you are experiencing Namarupam, but gross body is not functioning, that state is called the dream state. Then, that mind and intelligence, suppose everything has got dissolved, then you come to a state called deep sleep state, and where you do not know anything what is happening, complete full in deep sleep, and Krishna is asking, are you losing anything then? What are you losing? And so this also, vacant state is also another form of that deep sleep state. Let's understand that, what it means. That when you have gone into the deep sleep state, whatever you thought yours in the vacant state, you are losing all that. Is it not? In the deep sleep, you don't have it. And you are not complaining that time, I lost my house, I lost my body, I lost my property, everything. You are not complaining anything about it. But another form of that state is this vacant state. Why? Because in vacant state also, one day it's coming and going. If you look at it that way, that you are losing in the deep sleep state everything in the what you had in the vacant state. You are not complaining. But in the vacant state, whatever you think you have got now is one day leaving you also. Everything you are going to lose, just like you lost in the deep sleep state, including the body, the dream state, the assets or wealth or whatever you have here, family, whatever it is, you are losing all that. But then you are saying that, oh, in the vacant state, this is all true. Everything is true, you are saying. But is that true? That's the question Krishna's got. You're saying it is true, but is that true? Because the way that you are able to get yourself convinced that the dream state and the deep sleep is not truth, you are saying that. Similarly, Krishna's point is, vacant state is also not the truth. It's not the truth. This understanding we have to get strongly. This is a barrier to cross in spiritual life. We all have this problem. We are saying that dream state, yes, I was dreaming, so it's not real. Deep sleep, I didn't know anything, so it's not real. But who says vacant state is real? That by vijaram, by reflection, analyzing it properly, you have to come to this conclusion that what is going on in the vacant state is also not real from the absolute platform. It's not real. It's not real. For a short period of time, 50, 60, 70 years, you are here with this body. And in this little body or in this short-term body, whatever experiences you have, you are calling it as real. Is that not ignorance? That's what he is asking in the next verse. Krishna is saying, Taijase nidraya panni pindasto nashta chetana mayam prapnodi mrityumva tadvanna anarthadrik puman. Taijase nidraya panni pindasto nashta chetana mayam prapnodi mrityumva tadvanna anarthadrik puman.
Anarthadrik puman. So here mind and senses in the vacant state is working completely, full. And at that time, so many names and forms, namarupam there. And then when the senses are contracting and your perception of the namarupam has come down, it is limited then. Because only what is in the, there is more namarupam in the vacant state than in the dream state. In the dream state, only what is being shown to you in that is there. But in the vacant state, the whole creation is there in front of us. So when the dream state, when the senses are contracting and your exposition to the namarupam is limited, you call it as dream state. So, and both the mind and the senses, when it completely contracts, when it expands, vacant state comes. When it contracts, dream state comes. And finally, when it's fully contracted, what remains there is, all what remains there is avidya or ajnanam. And Krishna's point is, in all the three states, avidya is there. So where is the difference? That's Krishna's point. This avidya or ajnanam is present in all the three states. It is there in the deep sleep, it is there in the dream state, it is there in the vacant state. So why do you say this state is better than the other? Or this state is real, the other state is not real? That's a normal argument, isn't it? We say that in the real world, what's the real world? Vacant state. What we say is real world is the vacant state, is it not? So, and then, because there is no difference between the three states, why do you say this is all truth, what is in the vacant state, and you have a lot of duties to perform here, responsibilities here, this, that, and running around all over the world in the name of responsibility and duty? That's Krishna's point. He says, all this vacant state, you are saying that you have a lot of duties and responsibilities, and then you are running everywhere to fulfill these duties and responsibilities. Why do you say like that? Krishna's question is that. Taijase nidrayabhine pindasto nashta chedana and mayam prapnodi mrityumva tadvan nanarthadrik puman. Nanarthadrik puman. As soon as all these things, what's happening in the vacant state, if it happens in the dream state, if it happens in the dream state, then you come back to vacant state and say, oh, it was just a dream, it's not important. But similarly, why don't you think about the vacant state also? Why do you think this vacant state is such a real thing? Where did this concept understanding come from? That's Krishna's question there. He's asking that. Then, but once you have understood it in that way, then there is no thing called creation. Creation doesn't exist anymore. Because where is the creation? Creation is all in your mind. If the mind is not there, the world is not there. As we have seen many times before. So, vyavaharam is dvaidam. Vyavaharam is dvaidam. So, that means drashta and drishyam. In dvaidam, these two things will always be there. Drashtava and drishyam. The seer and the seen. The things what you see. And if you say to somebody, the seer and the seen is one, it's very difficult most of the people to accept that, isn't it? Why is it one? Because without the seer, the seen is not there. The seen exists because of the seer. That is why it's one. Not that seen, everything goes and dissolves in the seer, but only in the presence of the seer, the seen thing exists. So therefore, we say that drishyam and drashta is one and the same. They are not different. So, similarly, the person, say I am seeing one person. I am seeing somebody and it's me and that person is one. If we say that, it won't be easy to accept that. Is it not?
Because there are two different bodies are present there, which are called the limiting adjuncts, they say, which makes puts the limitations on us. So, I am saying that I am, and he is saying I am. Both of us are saying I am, I am. So, who are these two people? Because it is both are I am. When you are saying I am. I am also saying I am. So in reality there is only I am. There is no two. So because of the both these I am is stationed on our false ego. My I am is stationed on my false ego. His I am is stationed on his false ego, and that is why both I am is standing on the ego. And once this ahankaram is dissolved, my I am and his I am, what remains is there only Atma, which is one. There's no many Atmas, there's only one Atma. Because from ahankaram only, that ego, that ahankaram, when it dissolves, that jiva nature itself goes along with that. Jiva nature itself goes. Because from ahankaram came the mind. From mind came the senses. In this way, mind, intelligence and senses, and the foundation of all that which is ahankaram. Mind, intelligence and senses, and the foundation of all that is ahankaram. All these things expands itself, and this large tree called prapancham or material existence or creation has come into existence, and that exists in the form of vyaktam and avyakta swarupam, and inside, outside the body it exists. Vyakta avyakta swarupam. Vyakta avyakta swarupam, in Bhagavad Gita you will see Krishna uses that word. Vyakta avyakta swarupam. Its swarupam is vyaktam and it's also avyaktam. Manifested and unmanifested. Vyaktam is manifested, avyaktam is unmanifested. So, this is what we have to realize first. Because, how can I realize that? Because of the problems with all these things, mind, intelligence, senses, ego, and the foundation of all that which is the ahankaram, because of that only we are in distress. We are distressing. And the dependence, all of them is dependent on the mind. Dependent on the mind. So suppose I have succeeded in winding up this mind, and if I am convinced that nanatvam, nanatvam means this variegated existence, variations have not happened, and then I am free from this problem. Nanatvam has come from expansion of the three modes of nature, Trigunam. And Trigunam expansion has caused Nanatvam, and Nanatvam caused the Veda Buddhi. Veda Buddhi caused Ragadvesham. In this way, the whole cycle begins. So, Nanatvam has happened in the vacant state, is it not? Nanatvam happens in the vacant state. For example, Nanatvam happens in the dream state also. But when I come to vacant state, the nanatvam of the dream state, I'm not taking seriously. I'm rejecting it straight away. Just like in the vacant state, we have nanatvam. Nanatvam means these variations in this world. Namarupam. Namarupam creates this nanatvam. So, namarupam is there in the dream state also. But in the dream state, what is happening is that even though nanatvam is there, namarupam is present there, I will use the same words because there is no equivalent English words as such. You can say name and form. Name and form and these variations does exist in the dream state. But as soon as we come back to the vacant state, I am able to reject the whole thing in one lot. Isn't it? What happened in the dream state. So Krishna is saying here, these realities of the vacant state, you are rejecting it in the dream state also in the same way. When you come back from the dream state to the vacant state, all the name and form and all the nanatvam or variations there, you are rejecting. Similarly, when you go into the dream state, all the name and form of the vacant state and all the variations here, we are rejecting there. Every state is independent on its own. It remains independent. So, practically Krishna's point is, between these three states, there is not a lot of difference from one to another. In reality, there's no difference. All three states are mayamayam. That is Krishna's point. All the three states are vidhi, maya, manomayam. All are mayamayam or manomayam, as he said in the seventh chapter. So, important thing is to know that all these three states are under the influence of maya, and I have to come out of these three states. That's the only way you can free yourself. Till you come out of these three states, it's not possible to free yourself. There is no other way. As long as you are in these three states, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, that means you are under the influence of maya. Only till you come out of these three states, you are free from maya. So, knowing that all the three states are a product of maya, not thinking that only dream state and the deep sleep is not maya, is maya, not the vacant state is not maya. That is wrong. That's how normally we think, isn't it? Normally we think, suppose somebody sleeps, when he wakes up, he says, "I was in maya," he says. That is wrong. That's not right. You are in maya, in the vacant state, in the dream state, in the deep sleep state. That is what Krishna is saying there. Whether in any of these three states you are in maya. You are in maya, under maya's control. So only when you know that all the three states are under the influence of maya, and when you have transcended these three states, where you have completely got free from the influence of the mind, and mind has become completely in the shanti state, no thought waves, no names and forms, and if you have transcended the three modes of material nature and the three states, the proof of that is there will never be any more namarupam inside. Namarupam won't pop up inside. That means you have come out of namarupa smarana. Spurana. Spurana means birth of different names and forms. Names and forms appearing inside. That will not happen. That is the only then you can say, if namarupam is not appearing in the mind anymore, you can say you have transcended the three modes. So, and if that has gone away like that, namarupam gone away from inside, then that means gunabhavam has gone. Gunabhavam has gone means that cover which was covering atma inside, that shelter, covering has gone. And at that time, atma will manifest itself to us, and that unusual, what you call as the bliss of atma will be experienced. The blissful nature of the atma will be experienced. So, actually, in our inquiry in this world, we are all trying to be happy. Happiness is what we are looking for. And it is only for that purpose we are acquiring different objects in this world. House, and similarly other things, car, and so many other things, we are acquiring to make some happiness in life, to bring some happiness in life. But when Alpa is realized, what Krishna is saying here is that the anandam that comes from that anandam is different than what you have by what happiness, what you have acquired from the objects, what you have acquired in this world. And that experience of that atma, if it happens within oneself, then why do you have to come to this world to enjoy? If you are getting that happiness from the self, what is the need to come to the world to enjoy? And you can remain in that state forever and be satisfied. And this is what is to be attained in life. And it is for this purpose only, Krishna is saying, so many other processes what we have spoken before. And one who utilizes this opportunity to get that state and enjoys within himself, he has achieved the goal of life. That is Krishna's point. Taijase nidrayavani Pindasto nashta chetanaha mayam prapno di mrutyumva Tadvan Nanarthadrik Puman. This one verse covers all this. It covers everything. All these things what we have spoken. But Krishna has put it in a very, very, like a sutram, it is. Very minimum words. But he has to say, he has said that.
Taijase nidrayapanne pindasto nashta chedana mayam prapno dimrutyamva tadvan nanarthadrik puman.
How nanarthadrik he has become and how maya has completely controlling him and he has lost his power of discrimination, nashta chetana. And whatever state he is in, whether awakened state, dream state or deep sleep, it's all the same, he's saying. It's all the same, there's no difference at all. Then, this creation, where you are experiencing this dvaitam, duality, and anything what you can think here is existing here, Krishna says, that is all avastu. It's not vastu, it's avastu. Means it's not vastu. Avastu means which has no satta. Satta. There is no satta. Satta means it has no existence. It's no essence in there. For example, anything it remains in one form. In one particular form this plastic remains now. After many, many years it will all break up and it will change its form. Probably it may dissolve with something, earth or whatever ingredients inside. So metal, cable, this plastic, this form, this is all in one piece. If you look at it, it functions now. But if you just let it go like this for many years, this will all deteriorate and it will all change its name and form. It won't function anymore. It will change its name and form. So why do I have to accept something which is constantly going through changes and changing its form as real? That's question. So Krishna's point is that dvaidam, that vastu, they're all actually called avastu, each one of them. Microphone, the form, this metal, this plastic, this cable, everything is avastu. Avastu. Because it is called avastu. Reason for that is, it is bhava matram. Bhava matram it is. Bhava matram means that it is doing something, it's happening through it. But it has no real, genuine existence as such. It is not truth. Some or the other, if you add up, put it all together, it's doing some work for us. And that's all it is. So, bhava matram means like this. It is doing something, but it has its name and form at the moment, and it creates some feeling inside us. What does it do? When it's connected up all that, it's creating some sound vibrations, amplifies it, and gives it to us. So, when it does that, it creates in my mind some experience from that, because it creates that sound. So, that creates a particular bhavam in me. When I hear the sound, it creates a bhavam in me. Either it creates a form or it creates a thought waves inside me, isn't it? Just like they give example, a person you will see in the city center and all that. Small towns if you go, you will see this mostly. Sometimes in Watford also. That they have paved everywhere inside, in the city center, isn't it? No vehicles are allowed to travel. Everybody is walking. So these people will come with a lot of color powder or chalk or black powder, something like that. And they will draw a picture there. Say, Margaret Thatcher or Tony Blair or some big leaders. A picture they will draw. They'll put a few lines here, there, everything. But if you look, it is like them. It looks like them. They'll draw all that and they'll go and sit somewhere away. So people who come, they look at it and they'll look who has drawn, so they'll see the person sitting there. They'll go and put some 10 pence or 50 pence and they'll go. You have seen that, all that. So, what did he do now? He didn't bring that person there. Tony Blair or Thatcher, or nobody has come there. All what he has done is, he has taken these color powders and he did something and he was a success, he has succeeded in creating that image in your mind. In your mind. So, so therefore, but it has no reality. It has no reality. So, it is not Vastu Swarupam, it is not Vastu Swarupam, it is Bhava Swarupam. It creates the Bhavam in us, not actual Vastu is not there. It only creates a Bhavam in us. Similarly, all these products in this world is also Bhava Swarupam. It only creates a Bhavam. They create a feeling inside that they are doing, that is that, it is that, it is that. It creates a Bhavam inside our mind. And suppose the mind does not go into that object and it is not creating that Bhavam inside, then what happens? Then the creation doesn't exist. Creation has gone away and you will be convinced about that. They will be convinced about that the creation doesn't exist. This is how Krishna is arguing about this creation. Creation. You will see there in the next verse. Kim badram, kim abadram va, dvaidasya vastuna kiyal, vajodidam tadanardam, manaso dhyatame va. Kim badram, kim abadram va, dvaidasya vastuna kiyal, vajodidam tadanardam, manasa dhyatame vacha. It is all in the mind. We also say, it's all in your mind, we say. But we don't mean it this way. Not the way Krishna's meant. Krishna is saying that manaso dhyatame vacha. With the mind you have, with the interaction of the mind and the senses and the sense objects, you have created this within you. That bhavam has been created. That's all it is. So, like this, the whole world is nothing but, all the time, it's creating a bhavam inside. Is it not? Names and forms creates a bhavam inside. A person whom you met, he creates a bhavam inside, either in a nice way or in a wrong way. So, every object also, I like this, I don't like this. And I think it's good, I think it's bad. So that's a bhavam it creates. The object creates that bhavam inside. So Krishna is asking that, kim badram kim abadram va, dvaidasya vastuna kiyal, vajodidam tad anurdam, manaso dhyatam evacha. That manasa itself is false. In there this experience is happening. And that's all false. Experience is false, mind is also false. And on based on that we are interpreting this is nice, this is not nice. So therefore, because we are interpreting it like that, Krishna says your words is also false. Everything is false, he is saying. Kim badram kim abadram va. Because everything has come from dvaidam. From dvaidam it has come. Dvaidasya vasuna kiyal. So, vajodidam tad amardam manasadhyatam evacha. Because this experience is all in the mind, and due to the bhava matram, they are all bhavam it is, created by the different objects in this world. Because it creates that bhavam inside, it is not vastu, there is no vastu satta there. It is not vastu matram, it is vastu swarupam, it is bhava swarupam. Its nature is, it creates only bhavam. It is not Vastu Swarupam, it is Bhava Swarupam, everything in this world. And holding on to this Bhava Swarupam, and then you are saying that this is right, this is wrong, and this is good, this is bad, he is my friend, he is my enemy. All these things has come because of that Namarupam there, whom you are interacting with. And you are saying that, oh, this is all right, this is all wrong. So therefore Krishna is saying, because Namarupam is creating this bhavam in the mind, and Namarupam itself is false, therefore the bhavam is also false, And therefore the mind is also false. And based on all these things, whatever discussion and conclusions you are coming at, and your words about that, is also false. Vajodidam tadanardam manaso dhyatam evaja. That is what that line talking about. It's pure Vedantam it is. That Krishna's point is that, that till you understand what Krishna is trying to bring us to the understanding, that to understand Atma, to realize the Self, we have to come out of darkness, ignorance. This is all a part of that avidya. Which one? Mind, intelligence, senses, objects, bhavam and surubam, bhava surubam. Everything is a part of that ignorance in us. So Krishna is analyzing that ignorance, how deep rooted that is. That's what he is saying there. Kim badram kim abadram va dvaidasya vastunakiyal va jodidam tad amrdam manaso dhyatam evacha. So, all it does is, it creates a form inside our mind, nothing else, bhava sarupam it is. So, all it is doing is, it creates some impact inside the mind, some emotions inside. And suppose the mind is not going to that object, and if it's not creating any impression inside, bhava, bhava means impression inside, then you will know that there is no creation. Because the objects in the world is coming in and creating a Namarivam, is creating a Bhavam inside, therefore the world exists. But suppose the objects in the world does not come inside and does not create any impression inside, then the world doesn't exist. That's the logic, isn't it? So that is what he is saying here. Dvaidasya avastuna kiyal. Dvaidasya avastuna kiyal. This dvaidam is avastu surubam. All that's all what is required. Dvaidam is avastu surubam. Therefore, kim badram kim abadram va? Krishna is asking. Kim badram kim abadram va? Then why you are saying this is good and this is bad? Logic, isn't it? It's logical. Only thing is in practice we can't go anywhere near to that. That's the problem. All this is in it is the truth, and it will be always be the truth, and we can appreciate what Krishna is saying is the truth. But when it comes to vyavaharam, this whole thing goes. Vyavaharam is nothing but dvaidam, and in that dvaidam, this will always be there. Even when you go shopping, you will say, you'll pick the vegetables also, looking at it, this is good, this is bad. There itself, vyavaharam, you can't do anything about it. Is it not? So, if you think about this, that is why vyavaharam causes problem. It depends this concept of good and bad inside. So, so therefore, when you say this is good, this is bad, Krishna is asking, what does it mean, good and bad? When you say something is good and bad, what does it mean? So, a person has drawn a picture, and we say to him, oh, this didn't come out very well, it doesn't look very good. But when you look at the picture, is there a real thing there, picture? Actually, what it is some colors and some paints he has joined together, and he has created a bhavam inside me. And I am saying it looks good, and it doesn't look good. Whatever opinion I have about that. So, when you think about it, is that vastu really exist? It doesn't exist. But then where is the question of it's good and it's bad, what you're talking about it? Chitram, or a picture what you have drawn, is not vastu sarupam, it is bhava sarupam. It is bhava sarupam. So, all it has done is, it has tried to create an impression, a bhavam inside you. It has tried that. Why? Because with colors, he has done that. Nothing else there. So, suppose somebody draws a picture, say, my father, and he given it to me. This is your father's photograph. I've drawn a picture of your father. And I say, and you say, oh, he looks exactly like my father. Drawn very well, he says. And all it has done is, that image of my father, he has succeeded in creating in me some effect. Is it not? That that image brings me some memories of the past. Nothing else. But my father is not that picture, is it? That picture, body, my father's body is made of the 5 material elements, which is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. And that form of that 5 material elements, now he has used the colors, different colors, and he made a form out of that and managed to generate that emotions in me of seeing my father. That's all it has done. So, therefore, that is not again Vastu Sarupam. It has no connection with my father. All it has done is, it's generated a form in front of me. Sometimes these cartoonists are very good in doing that, isn't it? If you look at the papers, newspapers, how they make the picture, 2-3 lines enough for them. As soon as you look, you will say, oh, it's David Cameron. Or you will say, it's Tony Blair. Something in there, nose, or in the ears, or in the head, or in the body, whatever, how clever they are in creating that feeling in you. And all the world leaders, they can do that. They are very good at that, isn't it? Even without writing anything, you can tell them that this is these people. So that is called Bhavamatram. And Bhavamatram means it is not Vastu Sarupam, it is Avastu Sarupam. Vastu is not there, only Bhavam is there. Then that few lines, I'm supposed to accept it as the particular leader whom they have drawn the picture. So everything in this world is Avastu. Avastu. And that means Bhavamatram. Bhavam is another aspect of mind, another vritti of the mind. The more the mind becomes under control, the more mind withdraws itself from the world, this bhavam will go away from inside. Effect of the bhavam will go away. The proof of that is sushupti. In sushupti, in the deep sleep state, there is no namarupam. There is no namarupam. Then where is the world then? Where is the world then? There is no world also. You can see in the sushupti state, in the deep sleep state, when there is no namarupam, there is no world either. So that is the proof that once the namarupam disappears, world also disappears. So this continuous flow of the different namarupams up and down, coming up and down, and suppose, and that is what we are calling it as material existence or the creation. This continuous appearance of names and forms. That's what we call it as creation or material existence. Continuous appearance of namarupam, name and form, is called creation. And suppose you are not having that anymore, continuous appearance of namarupam anymore, then what will happen? This will stop. So, so suppose you did not throw them away, this continuous flow of namarupam inside, that means you will always be in material existence. You will never be outside material existence, always in material existence. As long as the names and forms are appearing and disappearing inside names and form, then up to that, so long as it's there, namarupam there, that means you are in the material existence. And so, and therefore, material existence, nobody else has created. You have created yourself. You have created yourself. And where is it present? It's present in your mind. Material existence you have created. And where is it present? It's present in your mind. And if you are not succeeded in getting rid of it from the mind, you will remain in the material existence forever. Remain in the material existence forever. So, and then you are saying, Krishna is giving me all the trouble. That's what the answer, isn't it? Things go wrong in life, and then you are saying that, why Krishna is giving me all this trouble? I am a devotee. Why is he treating me like this? Krishna is telling us, I am not responsible for this. You have gone and accepted all this as the truth yourself, the world as the truth, all the namarupam as the truth, and whatever bhavam it has created in the mind as truth, and then you are suffering with the result of all that mind, namarupam, and also the material existence which comes from that. It's all the after effect of that. And then you are blaming me. Krishna is responsible for my misery. So that's called avidya. Ajnanam it is. It is ajnanam. Actually what has happened, nothing has happened because of our own foolishness, each one of us, of our own foolishness, we are talking like that. We are talking like that without any sense. Krishna will not accept that. You can see there that this point Krishna has repeated many times in the Bhagavatam. Artehi avidyamanebi samsrder na nivartade dhyayado vishayanasya sopne anarthagamo yadha. He says your material existence and misery will never leave you. You can whole lifetime, you can talk and talk and talk about it, but it's not going to go. Artehi avidyamanebi samsrder na nivartade dhyayado vishayanasya sopne anarthagamo yadha. Krishna is saying that artehi avidyamanebi samsrdirna nivartade. Although everything is born out of avidya, material existence won't go away. I agree that all the objects are temporary, material objects, they are not permanent. And it is avidya. But samsrdirna nivartade, Krishna is saying. And he comes to that in the 13th verse here. In this 13th verse, he puts that in there later. Artehya vidyamanebi samsrdirna nivartade. Dhyayado vishayanasya sopne anarthagamo yada. Where else you will find this verse? It's there in the third canto. The same verse. It's there in the Puranjanavakhyanam, in the fourth canto. Same verse. And it's here now. It's there in the, I think it is probably in that Hamsagita also somewhere. Same, repeated again and again in the Bhagavatam, this one verse. Artehi avidyamanebi samsrdir na nivartate. Na nivartate. There is no hope of coming out of it. We have created that. We have to solve ourselves. Nobody can do anything about it. Dhyayado vishayanasya sotne anarthagamo yada. Like all the anartham. Anartha means, in the dream state, whatever misery or distress you are having in the dream state, that anartham or misery leaves you when you come to the vacant state. Is it not? When you come to the vacant state, that misery has left you. Misery has left you. Dhyayado vishayanasya sopne anarthagamo yada. Because why did that happen? Because on something what you have seen in the vacant state, you have been meditating on that. And due to your meditation of the objects in the vacant state, it has appeared in the dream state. It has appeared in the dream state, and you are suffering again in the dream state also because of that. Say in the vacant state you had some problem with somebody, and or you have experienced something which was very painful for you. Then even when you sleep, because of this experience in the vacant state, it will come in the dream and haunt you there. And you will feel the same misery there in the dream state. But when you leave the dream state and come back to the waking state alone, then you realize that it was all a dream. It was not real anymore. So, artehi avidyamanebi samsrdir na nivartate. Samsrdir na nivartate, avidyamanebi. So, even though from avidya all these things have happened, from samsaram or material existence, you cannot escape from that. Dhyayado vishayanasya sotne anarthagamo yada. So Krishna saying here that all these things will go only if you are convinced that that object is not real. Only if you are convinced that the world is not real, only then the effect of this world inside will go. Artehi avidyamanebi samsirdharna nivartade. But if, suppose you are convinced that the product doesn't exist, the object doesn't exist, but even then, sometimes, Krishna's point is, completely you can't come out of the world. You can't come out of the world. See how strong that avidya inside is. This is called avidya. One thing is, say the product disappeared in the world, some particular product, whatever it may be, or the person has disappeared in the world. That does not mean that avidya has gone. Material existence has not gone away. Say, you had a son or a daughter who died 10 years ago. He died 10 years ago. And suddenly you are saying, oh, how sad it is. If he was here, oh, I was not fortunate enough to have. If he has grown up now, he would be, say, 20 years or 30 years. And you will start thinking like that. So had he lived, died 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Now you are sitting and calculating, had he lived now, he would have been probably 30 years or 40 years, and I was not fortunate enough to see him. In that way, sometimes people make their statements, isn't it? So, some death that has happened 20 years ago, why you are talking about it now and feeling miserable about it? Because death has happened many, many years ago. But why is that you are feeling the misery now from that? Because you have kept that in the mind. That person's name and form, you have kept it in the mind. And this is the problem. And that is what that verse is saying. Artehi avidyamanebi. Avidyamanebi samsardrana nivartade. Even though all the products in this world are false, even though they disappear, still your material existence is not gone, finished. It is still there inside in your memory. And you can retrieve it back and suffer from that if you want. Pull it out of that. So, anytime when that memory comes back, you cry, what this happened in my life. Sometimes it happens to parents also, isn't it? Happens to parents also. The child died when you were small, 1 year, 2 years. 1 or 2 years they had the association with the child. The child died and gone. Then after 3, 4 years, the mother is thinking, oh, if he was living, he would have been probably 5 or 6 years old. Now he'd be going to school. I'll be taking to school. So many other things, thoughts, comes one after the other. And you suffer. Child is gone 2 years ago. Just see the way the mind works. That's what that verse is saying. Artehi avidyamanebi samsardirna nivartade. Although it is all avidya, the material existence has not left you. This is material existence. To lament about things, what has happened a few years ago. It would be nice if something happened like that and it's all forgotten there itself. It is not forgotten. It remains inside and then it will come out now and then. When some incident happens in life in relationship with that person, it can again create that problem. Is it not? It will bring the memories back. You know, sometimes people keep all these souvenirs and all sorts of albums and everything. The days they went on holidays together, the husband and wife. 10 years ago went to Mallorca or Tenerife or something, took some photos there, how they were lying in the beach enjoying the sun. They got all photographs. And then all that photos they are keeping, and one of them died and gone, husband gone, wife. But still, they will, now and then they'll take it out and have a look at it. Why? It brings some happiness to them. That together we have done all these things in the beach so many years ago. That is called material existence. So material existence means this. To live in the past in this way. Bringing back the memories of the past and to live in that. This is all false. That's what Krishna is saying. All this is, even though it's false, we also know it's false, but we still like to enjoy that. Prabhupada also used to say this. The way Prabhupada used to put it was, he said, that there are, everybody saying it's a dream, but they want to enjoy the dream. he said that they are all saying it's a dream. Whenever we talk to people, it's all a dream. There are also people who are visiting Prabhupada and discussing various things. Some of them were saying, oh, it's all a dream at the end. We agree with that, he said. But they are very experts in enjoying the dream, he said. They're thinking, saying it's all a dream, but they are such good experts in enjoying the dream. He's saying that. So, what's their understanding of the dream then? That's what he's saying. Prabhupada said this so many times. He said, they say everything is a dream. They also agree, he says. People who had come, hardcore materialists, who have discussed with him, said to him, oh, it's all a dream anyway. He said. But Prabhupada says, that's all right, you're agreeing with me on that. But then you're such experts in enjoying that dream, he said. Because in that dream they want to enjoy as best as they can. So, so you have kept it in the mind, and therefore it's causing the problem, and as and when that memory comes back, you're crying or you're enjoying, whichever way it is. So, it is by creating that mood inside, that bhavam inside, that made you happy and distressed, isn't it? Happy or unhappy, whichever way it is. Only by creating the mood inside, the albums or photos what you had created before, or some memory inside, it was able to whip it up again, wake up. And once you woken up, and again you started feeling, thinking about it, you goes back to those times, and thinking about the happiness you had then, or the suffering you had then, and suffer or feel happy about it. So, so similarly, I am born, I am dead, and I am this, I am that, and I am feeling like this, I am feeling like that. Like these hundreds and thousands of experiences in life, who is creating this for you? The mind. Who else is creating this experience in you except the mind? That's what Krishna is saying here. He's saying there that you are saying, I am dead, I am taking birth, and similarly, I am somebody, professor or intelligent engineer or doctor or politician or whatever, or celebrity or an actor or sportsman or musician, whatever that is. And I'm saying all these things, I am this, I am that, and I feel good, and I'm very successful, I'm a failure. And like this, hundreds of things we talk about ourselves, isn't it? Who is doing all these things? It is my mind and the imagination of the mind. It is within this all these things are happening. It has nothing to do with the reality, is it not? When people are saying all kinds of statements people are making in this world, it's all coming from the mind and from their imagination. It has nothing to do with the reality, isn't it? So, suppose such mood, such bhavam, or that kind of imaginational mood, if you have removed them from inside, if you have given up that habit of retrieving things from the past, or thinking about the future and getting absorbed in that. This is happening all about the past. Similarly, about the future also, you can build up some thoughts inside and suffer from that, or feel happy about it, isn't it? Suppose you have managed to get rid of all these thoughts from about the past, about the future, and the mind completely turned inward looking, antarmukhatvam has come, then you will find that there is no material existence also. This is why when we discussed the other day, we were saying that past is all memory, future is all imagination. Is it not? So this memory and imagination, two things, if you give up, then you are living in the present. Always living in the present. And when you are living in the present, you will not be disturbed over it. Only because you are living in the past or living in the future, the suffering is coming. So, practically you can see, material existence has been created by ourselves, and then nothing else. And if you are not willing to give it up, the only answer is suffer. That's all the answer you can give for that. Is it not? And that's what Krishna is saying there. Vachoditam tadanardam manasodhyatam evacha. In one line, he has put this whole thing into it. In one line. Vachoditam. Very selected words, and very precise words, and very brief. Vajodidam tad anardam manaso dhyatam evacha. That's all. That's enough to explain that. Vajodidam tad anardam manaso dhyatam evacha. But we have to analyze it deeply, so that we understand what Krishna is saying here. So, all the time, suppose when we are talking to people, he is giving his opinion, somebody else is giving his opinion, and we say, oh, I respect your opinion. What is your respecting? You yourself has nonsense. And then you are respecting somebody else, another nonsense. Vajoditam tad anardam. Of course, in Vyavaharam this is not possible. But we have to know that it is not the truth. When you are talking to somebody, he may have one opinion, and then we will say, oh, let me have a second opinion from somebody else. And sometimes we have to value somebody's opinion and don't hurt my feelings and all that. See? So Krishna is saying, all your so-called opinion, feelings, everything is false. Because of your mind only, you are creating some bhavam inside and suffering from that. What can I do about it? Vajodidam tad anurdam. It's all false anyway. All made by your mind and your mood and bhavanam, or your imagination. Manaso dhyatam evacha. He is saying like that. So, with the mind you are reflecting on all these things, and with the words you are talking about it, and all these objects what we are talking about it, and if I am not talking about it, and if I am not thinking about it in my mind, then that product is not there. Padartham is not there. Object is not there. Only because I am talking about it, and if the product is in the form of name and form present in my mind, the product is there. It is causing the problem. So where do they stay? These padartham, these objects, it's in my mind. It is in my mind, it is present, isn't it? Do you see that point Krishna is saying? That product is, where is the product? It is in your mind. Where is the world? World is in your mind. If you have no connection with the world and the product's there, namarupam's there, then what relationship have you got with it? Nothing. So, it is basically, Krishna saying, manaso dhyatam evacha. It is in the mind as well as in your vajoditam tad anurdam manaso dhyatam evacha. In the words as well as in the mind, it is present. It is present. And whatever you speak with your words, that's all lie. That's all a lie. And therefore, Krishna is saying, nobody is saying any truth any time. We are all liars. We mutually say, oh, he is a liar, she is a liar, I am an honest person. Krishna is saying, all of you are liars. Nobody is truthful here. Only a self-realized person is truthful. Do you remember? Indeed, when Uddhava asked that question to Krishna earlier, I think it's the 19th chapter, he said, who is truthful in this world? Uddhava asked the question. I don't know whether you remember. Yeah, it is in the 19th chapter. There he is saying that that dandanyasa param Arjuna, Uddhava asked this question, that number of things Uddhava asked. And Krishna smiled at that time, seeing those questions. He says, Yamam niyamam danam tapasya shauryam kim satyam rudam uchyade kastyaga kim dhanam cheshtam ko yajnya kacha dakshina humsakim siddhbalam shriman bhago labhaschakeshava ka vidya hri paraka shri kim sukham dukhame vacham ka pandita kaschamurka ka panta ulpadaschaka ka swargo naraka ka svil ko bandhurida kim griham ka adyoko daridrova kribana kakka ishwaraha edan prasnan mama brohi vibridamsha salpade. Shri Bhagavan Vaja, answer. Ahimsa satyam asteyam asangokri asanjaya astikyam brahmajaryam jamavaryam stairyam chamabhayam shaujam javastavo homam shraddha adityam madarchanam tirtharanam balayartha atushti acharya sevanam yede yamasa niyamam ubhayor dvadasha smada pumsa upasadasta daidha kramam duhandihi Shamo Manishada Vodir, Dhamma Indriya Samyamam, Tidisha Dukasam Marsham, Jiham Ubasta Jayo Dradi, Dandanyasa Varam Dhanam, Kamatyagatavas Pradam, Sabhava Vijayam Shavyam, Satyamcha Samadarshanam, Satyamcha Samadarshanam. So, if you have Veda Buddhi, if a person is truthful, the only person who is truthful is one who is Samadarshi, one who has got equal vision. Satyam means equal vision, Krishna says. Not the way we say. That he is a liar, she is a liar. So we get heavy with people, isn't it? You have lied to me. Krishna is saying, you are all lying to me. Satyanja Samadarshanam, he says here. So, Kridam Jasu Umradavani Kavivi Parigirtida Karma Susangama Shaujam Tyagam Sanyasam Uchade. So, there also the same point Krishna mentioned when he talked about Satyam. As far as Krishna is concerned, Satyam means that not the what the Satyam what we are talking about. Our Satyam has no standing in front of Krishna. As far as Krishna is concerned, that everything is asatyam. Nobody is telling the truth in this world. Nobody is telling the truth in this world. Why? Why is that? Because everybody is in the vyavaharam. And all your vyavaharic interest is what you are talking about. Sorry. So that your vyavaharam goes well. It is for that purpose you are speaking the truth. You are saying the truth. Just like businessman says, isn't it? He says the best product, the best price and everything. Even though he knows very well it's not the best. But for to sell, he has to do that. So similarly in vyavaharam, we do all these things. So similarly, because you have interest in your vyavaharam, so everything that comes through that vyavaharam is also all false asatyam. And asatya vastu, everything is vastu itself is asatyam. And you are doing vyavaharam on that asatya vastu. Asatya vastu means it's a false thing. On that you are doing a vyavaharam on that. Krishna's question is, if vastu is asatyam, and if you are doing vyavaharam on that, then your words, the vaka, or words that's coming, vacham, can that be true? How can it be true? Is it not? Vastu itself is false. And then your words are also false. And then you are saying, whatever you are saying is all truth. How can it be? So, similarly, asatya vastu is what we are seeing whole day. And all our vyavaharam is also this asatya vastu. So, therefore, with the mind, as well as with the words, in the form of vyavaharam, in the form of bhavam, what it creates, all these namarupam we are experiencing in this world, and that is the nature of material existence, samsara. Material existence. So I think we'll stop there today. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.